Very loud.
Los dulces que se te quieren. Yes.
Morning, Honorable Wop.
How are you, Honorable Chan?
Very, very good. Welcome back.
Yes.
Honorable Wop.
Did you see Honorable Champagne?
I want to see, does he have a new look?
Yes, it's got a new look, Honorable Champagne.
Honorable Champagne, we would like to see your face, please. Honorable Shembeni, why? This is a I can see you've recovered from COVID.
Thank you, sir.
Honorable Shembeni is looking fit as a fiddle.
Thank you, sir. It's a new honorable Shembeni.
No, I can see COVID did you very well. You recovered. Did you send the president of America some of your booty?
No, that one is very stubborn. I couldn't. You must see that this thing is there, it's living. He was
so
it was very negligent.
Honorable member, Honorable Whip, could I get an indication if we have a quorum? I've seen 43, 44 members now.
I'm trying to have a check on this.
The minister has signed in, but I'm trying to see if we have members, not just all the delegation.
Yes, I've seen...
Honorable Minister, I just need to know. Good morning, Minister.
Chair, you're talking to Babalwa.
Morning, Babalwa. Do we have a quorum?
Yes, we do have a quorum, Chair.
All right. Good morning, Honorable Members.
Morning, Chair.
Morning, Chair.
Morning, my Minister. Do we have our Deputy Minister here as well?
Yes.
Morning, Deputy Minister.
Morning,
Honorable Members. My privilege and pleasure to welcome you back. I know you are not fit as fiddles and rested because we were all over the countryside, especially our Minister, Deputy Minister. Honorable Members were conducting oversight. But I know that we are back, we are fully committed. We would like to ensure that we conduct our business of oversight in a very professional manner. We do know that over this period that we were away, we had some really serious challenges. Some were personal. And some were also in the line of duty. We would like to express our gratitude for those members who contracted the virus, covered. Honorable Shembeni, welcome back. Our prayers were with you. Honorable Peacock, we are also pleased that she covered of her beloved husband. Then we have some good news. Honorable Mofokeng has just been appointed as the whip to the Portfolio Committee on Justice, links to her. We are very concerned because remember now, Honorable Mofokeng will prioritize the Justice Committee. And as police, you know, we're very jealous about our members prioritizing other committees. But we really sincerely wish Honorable Mofokeng well. And we know that even though we're sad to have lost the member, the former whip on Sham Mohammed, even though we lost him, COVID period, we are very, very delighted that Honorable Mofokeng whip. Honorable members, before we take our presentations, Honorable Minister, We are going to take, honorable members, could you please mute your mics? Could I just all like us to then, there's an iPad, could you please identify yourself? Honorable Minister, your mic is also on. And then if we can just have this one that's on the screen as iPad, could you identify your gadget? There's also a Galaxy Note 5. Could you also identify yourself? Honorable members, remember that these meetings are online and virtual, and we do not want any form of hacking of our meeting. We've seen other meetings being hacked with some untoward images being floated on the screens. That said, honorable members, the Minister of Finance issued a notice in the Government Gazette on the 31st of March 2020 in terms of Section 92 of the PFMA. It exempts executive authorities from tabling the annual reports and financial statements of the respective departments and institutions within 6 months after the end of the financial year, as set out by the PFMA. These documents are usually tabled by the end of September. Instead, the note that the authorities must table these documents within 2 months after the normal deadline, by the end of November, that is. These timeframes have since been extended owing to the lockdown imposed to curb the COVID-19 pandemic. This extension will have an effect on the work and program of the Assembly, especially the consideration of the budget review and recommendation report, the BRRRs and the means policy statement. The Money Act states that Parliament and its committees must annually assess each department performance, the BRRRs. The Money Act also requires that these assessments must inter alia make reference to departmental annual reports and financial statements. These assessments are usually conducted early in October. In terms of the MBPS, the Money Act also states that the BRRRs must be submitted to us and, if adopted, conveyed to the responsible minister prior to the adoption of the reports on the MTBPS. Owing to this, the Speaker wrote to the Leader of Government Business and the Minister of Finance, in which she asked that annual reports be tabled as soon as possible and that departments must ensure that members have the required information to interrogate the departmental performance, which, thank you, Minister, has been done. We thus propose the following procedures, that during the week now of 2 weeks of 6th to 16th of October, we have set aside for committees to consider departmental performance agreements and prepare the BRRRs for this year. Given the prescripts of the Money Act, however, committees will only be able to conclude their BRRRs once the annual reports have been tabled by the 16th of November. The purpose of these meetings that we are now conducting will therefore be to conduct a preliminary assessment of departmental performance. Committees are to utilize quarterly reports of the departments to scrutinize their performance and financial statements. Government has been asked to assist members and make available the necessary information. As I said, we have this. The period will be used to assess in-year performance for the current financial year, especially in the light of COVID-19 related measures and reports. Then the Minister of Finance is scheduled to tell the MTBPS on the 21st of October. I'm giving you these dates in case you do not have them or to refresh your memories, after which the relevant sections will be referred to the respective committees. The departments must table their annual reports as soon as possible, and committees must process it without delay. Once those departments with difficult matters to deal with, although only those ones, will table by the 16th of November. Committees that are affected by the late submission of annual reports can meet. Hello? can meet from the 17th to the 19th of November. Lastly, once the BRRRs have been tabled to the House, we will then consider the reports thereafter, and thereafter we'll consider the MTBPS. Honourable Members, if you have any questions on that input, I hope I'm clear. Before we start the meeting, are you clear with the process? Are you happy with the process?
I'm happy, Honourable Chair.
Thank you. Proposed by Mapatsu.
Yes.
Yes. Do I have a seconder that you continue?
I second, Chair.
Seconded by Honourable Mofokeng. We will thus continue with our meeting, understanding that there's the process which has been put in motion as outlined by the chairperson. Let it so be minuted.
Yeah.
Honourable Members, yes, Honourable Mapatsu.
My apology, Chair, that I've requested that I've got a checkup at 11 o'clock. So can I leave maybe around 10:30, and if I finish 8, I'll come and rejoin.
You may, Honourable Mapatsu. I will deal with apologies now, and then we'll take it further. We have an apology from Honourable Mapatsu. He will leave and then rejoin. I have an apology from Honourable Whitfield. Do we have any other further apologies?
Yes, Chairperson. I'll leave at 9:30 also for justice.
Honourable Mofokeng, you are so allowed to lead and leave and lead justice as the whip. That would be very good for us. Your first meeting, you will be officiating as the whip. Congratulations once again. Honourable Meshu is here. Faku, we do have Honourable Shembeni, the Blanche. So we, Honourable Members, if I haven't noted you, you are all welcome. That said, Members, we will deal with quarter four and quarter one presentations. So first do quarter one, quarter four, first quarter four, and then quarter one presentations. I will not take questions after quarter four because I do believe that a number of those questions may be answered during the presentation of quarter one. When you read those two presentations, you'll realize that they should be discussed as not as one report, but they do flow as one report following another. So if you are happy with that, I'm going to allow that both the presentations be done and that we then deal with questions. Secondly, Honourable Members, the Minister and the Deputy Minister will only be with us today. They are having a Cabinet Lekgotla on Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. So I'll allow you to have more questions to the Minister before I allow questions to SAPS and other officials. This will give the Honourable Minister sufficient time to engage with the committee, and then we know and we accept his apology for Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. Honourable Deputy Minister, we've also accepted your apology for Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. Honourable Members, are you in agreement with those two proposals I've made? Could I have a proposal for adoption, please?
Honourable Mapatsu moves for adoption, Chair.
Mapatsu moves for adoption. Do I have a seconder?
I second, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Mofokeng. We could then go ahead now and do the presentation. We'll take quarter four and then we'll do quarter one. Honourable Members have asked me why we need to do these presentations.
Chair, you're muted.
Sorry, yes, I'm back. Sorry, Members have asked me to ensure that these presentations are very short. Now, we need to go through these presentations and we have to have these presentations because these meetings are online, they are virtual, and we should allow the public to actually have access to these meetings. So my apologies if you think that these presentations take too much time. Bear in mind that the public needs to follow these meetings, and more often than not, they do not have access to these presentations. The presentations are public documents, and we should ensure that the public does have access to it. We'll then take quarter four. Just clarification, quarter four is the end of the financial year 2019-2020, and then quarter one is the beginning of the new financial year 2020-2021. Just so that you clear that quarter four comes before quarter one and why this is so. We are not numerically challenged. Honorable Minister, over to you to do the introductions. Thank you.
Honorable Chair.
Yes, Honorable Mapatu.
I'm sorry, man. I've been called by members here, Patrain and Mulewa. They're trying to log in. Patrain keeps on kicking her out. And Mulewa, she's also trying to log in, if you can assist from your side.
Yes, Honorable Patrain is on now. Could the host please assist us? Could the host, we have the host and the co-host, could you please, we have two co-hosts, could you please assist me to ensure members are online?
Honorable
Minister, Dr. Kinnitz, can you just assist us so that the host ensures that all our members are online? Honorable Minister, over to you. Thank you,
Chairperson. Good morning to you, Chair, to the Deputy Minister, Honourable members, the officials, the National Commissioner of the South African Police, and Deputy Commissioners, and all divisional commissioners, and all people out there. Chairperson, as you have explained, so we'll dedicate our time and presentation and some engagements if it needs be. Having said so, we are in uncharted waters. As you have explained, quarter four, the last tail of quarter four was already under the lockdown. So there were drastic changes there. Remember that tail end would be four. And five, or mostly would be five. And then starting with quarter one, it would be five, four, and three. So there would be things that would have been very not normal the way we were doing things. So for the fact that even now we're seated this way, it's a new normal that we hope it changes for the better in whatever way, whether it's permanently this way or we meet again, one wouldn't know. But the crux of the matter is that things will never be the same, will never be the same again. That's an understanding that we all must live with. Having said so, Chairperson, I would love to say, while most of us, we were having the luxury of taking the heat, of staying home, becoming visual and all that, among ourselves, there would be people that did not have that luxury. There were those that they were called the frontline workers. That will have to take care of those that they are sick, but there are those that as the laws were changed and the laws were toughened and tightened to protect the general populace, and some people had to enforce those laws. Many questions have been asked about that. Well, there is an understanding from ourselves as a minister in the management of the police, that to us, police have been always the frontline workers. I'm told that they are trying to redefine themselves as essential workers. I'm not very sure about essential workers, because if essential, you have a choice. If you're a frontline, you don't have a choice. Police didn't have a choice, Chair. When everybody was told to sit in, police were told to get out. The police were told to be on the roadblocks to make sure that everything happened. Police had to look after the safety, have to be out there. Maybe it is on that score that quite several of them, they became victims themselves. They became victims themselves because they didn't have choice of being not there. It's on this question that we really salute. And fortunately, with the grace of God, 6 regulations and the laws of this. chief of staff. I have the spokesperson, and I have other people that are here. I know that today most you are on the separate centers, people operating from home. If the I can hand over to the national commissioner for the actual presentation and the team that is with us. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. Thank you very much for that introduction. We do take the message which you have conveyed to us very seriously, and I'm sure we will interrogate it during our discussions. Honorable National Commissioner, before you start, honorable members, may I ask that we all observe a moment of silence for our frontline workers, men and women, who have lost their lives over this period of COVID-19. Could we all observe a moment of silence, please? Thank you very much. I particularly pay tribute to Lieutenant Colonel Charles Kinnear. May his dear soul rest in peace. On General, National Commissioner, General Sithole, you are on. You may introduce your team. Thank you, National Commissioner.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and greetings to all Honorable Members, the Honorable Minister, and the Deputy Minister of Police, as well as my colleagues from SAPS. Chair, our delegation is as follows. We have got Lieutenant General Libya, the National Head of DPCI. We have Lieutenant General Mosikidi, the Deputy National Head of DPCI. I'm sure it might also be important to inform the committee that she is no longer the Divisional Commissioner for Crime Detection. She has crossed to be appointed as the Deputy National Head of DPCI. We then have Lieutenant General Ngwenya, the Deputy National Commissioner for Human Resources. Lieutenant General Mfazi, Deputy National Commissioner Crime Detection. Lieutenant General Dimpane, Chief Financial Officer. Lieutenant General Mosala, Divisional Commissioner Forensic Services. Lieutenant General Zulu, Divisional Commissioner, Human Resource Development. Lieutenant General Mkwanazi, Divisional Commissioner, ORS. Lieutenant General Nthia, Divisional Commissioner, Human Resources. Lieutenant General Shisabane, Divisional Commissioner, Protection and Security Services. Lieutenant General Reed, Divisional Commissioner, Supply Chain. Lieutenant General Khan, Divisional Commissioner, Legal and Policy Services. Major General Pinar, Acting Divisional Commissioner, Visible Policing. Major General Hankel, Acting Divisional Commissioner, Inspectorate. Major General Rabi, Component Head, Strategic Management. Major General Nkosi, Chief Audit Executive. Major General Nelson, Financial and Administration Services. Major General Mavunda, Technology Management Services. Major General Butelezi, Technology Management Services. Brigadier Zikomeya, Financial and Administration Services. Brigadier Lombard, Divisional Commissioner, Crime Intelligence. Brigadier S. Naidu, Acting Head, Corporate Communication and Liaison. Brigadier L.S. Malahlela, Section Head, Executive Secretariat, Office of the National Commissioner. Colonel K.P. Stain, Parliamentary Services, Strategic Management. We are also joined by members of the Audit Committee, Mr. J. E. Faneyerden and Mr. T. Boldman. Honorable Chair, both of our presentations are going to be led by Major General Leon Rabi. When the committee is ready, Major General Rabi would then be able to proceed with the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, General Sithole. Major General Rabi, you may do your presentation.
Unmute.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members of the Committee, the Minister, Deputy Minister, National Commissioner and Senior Management of SAPS. Chair, we will, as you indicated, we will start with the presentation that focuses on the fourth quarter of the previous financial year. What we've also indicated, Chair, is the annual results that is currently in the process of being audited. Chair, can I just confirm that the presentation is visible for the purpose of continuing? Chair, I assume the presentation is visible. The first part of the presentation, we will focus on the financial results for the fourth quarter and year to date, as that will be presented by the CFO, Lieutenant General Dampane. So with your permission, ma'am, Honourable Chair, I will hand over to General Dampane to do the first section of the presentation. I will then continue with section two on the performance information.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members of the Committee, our Honourable Minister, Deputy Minister, National Commissioner, and the Senior Management from the Police. I will be taking the Committee through the financial results for fourth quarter, as well as year-to-date. The year-to-date results are still currently undergoing an audit, which is expected to be concluded this month. This slide is indicating the 2019-20 financial year total spending for the vote with a concentration on quarter four with the yellow pie. The results for quarter number four, the department had utilized 26.8% of its total budget. Next slide. The following slide indicates the comparison in relation to monthly spending with previous financial years. If you compare from 2016 up to last year, the trends are more or less similar, with the focus on the last quarter, which is January, February, March. When you look at the trends, they are more or less the same, with a 2019 results in January 80.7%, February 89.4%, and March 99.2%. Next slide. As we indicated, these results are unaudited. The next slide is indicating our income statement. As at the end of March 2020, the department has spent 99.2% of voted funds. Voted funds were 96.8 billion that were allocated. The expenditure was 96 billion with a net surplus of 754 million. We had the revenue that was collected, which amounted to 601 million. Next slide. Overview of spending performance at economic level. The department had utilized 99.2% of voted funds. We had the CJS implementation spending that was lower than planned, as there were conditions that were imposed by National Treasury. These conditions were only lifted halfway through the financial year, sometime in October. We also had spending on building and capital environment, where it was lower than planned and could not be used to defray current expenditure. We are also reporting that environment for all programs were well within the PFMA limitation of 80%. In relation to compensation of employees, actual spending for the period was 100%. The next slide, still on the economic level two, spending on goods and services comprised of 99.9% of allocated budget. Transfers and subsidies comprised of 122.2% of allocated budget. This was as a result of increased payments towards civil claims. Payments for capital assets comprised of 72.5%. And we are also reporting that capacity building items were, however, procurement. These are the items such as vehicles. We managed to procure those items. Next slide. Overview of spending per program. Program one, we had a net underspending of 1.43%. This was as a result of decreased spending on compensation of employees in this program, which required funding reprioritization towards compensation in other programs. This shifting of funds were then therefore approved by Treasury. Next slide. In terms of program two, we had a net underspending of 0.24%. This was 108.8 million that realized on the largest program that had been allocated more than 61% or 49.9 million of the total budget. Program three, we had a marginal net overspending of 0.61%, which is 116.9 million. There was overspending mainly as a result of increased spending on fleet services as well as contractors within different services. Program four, crime intelligence, there was a net overspending of 63.1 million on this particular program, which is 1.54%. Overspending essentially realized as a result of increased spending on compensation of employees. Program five, a net overspending of 7.31% of total program spending, mainly as a result of increased spending on compensation of employees. We had revenue collected and we surrendered that revenue to National Treasury, 601.703 million, which was as a result of sales of goods and services produced by the department, mainly of firearm licenses, etc., sale of scrap and other used goods, fines and penalties that were forfeited, interest received via corporate banks, sale of capital assets, as well as transactions in liabilities, which was 139.810 million, mainly as a result of recovery of debt. In relation to the total programs administration, we had actual expenditure of 97.45% as at the end of the year. Visible policing, which is program 2, 99.67%. Detective services, 98.11%. Crime intelligence, which is our program 4, 101.54%. Protection and security services with 107.31%. Total spending was 99.22%. Spending according to program thresholds, we were well below the 8% variance. Program one comprises of the following sub-programs: Ministry Management, Corporate Services, as well as Civilian Secretariat. The actual spending as at the end of the year was 19.9 billion, which is a 97.5% in this regard. Under this program, you are having human resource management, which includes human resource development, your personnel management with an allocation of 1.5 billion, technology management services, 2.7 billion, supply chain management, financial services, medical support, which is mainly your injury on duty treatment as well as health risk manager, and full amount, we had a full amount that we transferred to civilian secretariat, which was 143.051 million. Program two comprises of the following sub-programs: crime prevention with a spend of 99.3%, border security 98.7%, specialized interventions 103.8%, facilities, which is your leases, municipalities, accommodation charges, which we had a 99.0%. The total for the particular program, as I indicated previously, was 99.7%. Your expenditure drivers in relation to this sub-program, crime prevention, which includes police stations, environment, we had 34 billion, mounted units 150 million, dog units 900 million, railway with 1.2 billion allocated, 10 triple one centers, 1.2 billion allocated, and detainees, meals and medical, with 200 million allocated. Border security, 2.1 billion allocated. Specialized interventions, which includes your task force, public order policing, TRT, and AWIN. These were the expenditure drivers within this particular program. Facilities include leases with an allocation of 1.5 billion. Municipal services, 1.3 billion. Maintenance and property rates, 1.4 billion. In relation to program three, in the next slide, these are the sub-programs: crime investigations with a 98.5% spend, criminal record center 94.2%, forensic Science Laboratory 95.8%, Specialized Investigations 102.5%. Total spend was 98.1%. The expenditure drivers within this program, your crime investigations with an allocation of 13.2 billion. This includes general investigations, 11 billion, family violence and child protection units, 1.1 billion, vehicle theft units, 500 million, and stock theft, 600 million. Forensic Science Laboratory and Criminal Record Center, mainly affected by underspending on earmarked funds intended for implementation of the CJS 7-point plan. There were conditions that were imposed by National Treasury and were only lifted around October, or halfway through the financial year. Specialized investigations through the enhancement of DPCI functions, organized commercial crime, there is a 1.7 billion allocated. The allocation of DPCI is exclusive, and the amount was utilized to the fullest extent. In relation to Program 4 comprises of the following sub-programs: crime intelligence operations with a 98.8% spent, intelligence and information management 103.5% spent, with total spent amounting to 101.5%. The cost drivers or expenditure drivers mainly is your compensation at 91.9% of the total expenditure. Equipment and operational expenses, mainly on your fuel and oil vehicles, maintenance of fleet, S&Ts, and telecommunications. Additional investment was, however, embarked upon in terms of vetting services. It must be noted that the Secret Service account is not part of the Vault Police. In relation to Program 5 comprises of the following sub-programs: VIP protection, as at the end of March, 113.6% was realized. Static security, 104.7%. Government security regulator with a spend of 74.4%. Operational support, 93.8%. The expenditure drivers in relation to these sub-programs: the VIP protection services, which provides protections for the president, former presidents, etc. Static protections provides for the protection of sites and residences of identified VIPs. There is significant overtime as well as subsistence and travel expenditures within this particular program. Thank you, Chairperson. That was the last slide in relation to the financial results as at the end of March. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chair, thank you. I will then continue with section 2 of our presentation that focuses specifically on the performance results. Now, as far as the financial year is concerned, ending at 31 March 2020, we monitored a total of 131 indicators, of which we achieved 83, that is equal to 63.36% of the indicators. There's one indicator that is currently outstanding, and that relates to the outcome of the audit process. And then, Chair, at the bottom of the slide, we have a breakdown of the respective financial programs, but that will be repeated in when we get to the specific programs. In Program 1, Chair, we're monitoring 34 indicators, 16. We did achieve the target, 47%. And in 17 or 50% of the indicators, we did not achieve the target. And then the one that I've mentioned is outstanding as far as the specific program is concerned. Chair, just a brief explanation of the layout of the slides. What we have is the respective performance indicators that relates to the financial programs. And what we've done is then next to the indicator, we indicate the result of the fourth quarter. And then what we've also included is the annual results that is currently in a process of being audited to be included in the annual report. Chair will note that in some instances, we have indicators that are cumulative in nature. That means that the quarter four is equal to the annual results. And then we have indicators that are unique to every quarter, and they will then be indicated. And then the annual result will be indicated to the right. Chair, we also use color coding where the areas of underperformance is indicated in red, and we have indicated the areas of where we did achieve the targets in green. Now, on the first slide, the areas, that's slide number 21, the first area of underperformance is the workforce that had to be maintained at 98% of the approved under the 91,000. We ended the financial year in quarter four on 97.99%, so that is slightly below the set target of 98%. The learning programs, as far as the TPP of the South African Police Service is concerned, Chair, we did achieve the targets. As far as the 97% competency rate is that we targeted is required. The planned facilities projects as per our infrastructure development program, the total or the high level, we've achieved 80%. The target was 80% to 161. Of 161, we ended the financial year 81.37%, where we completed 131. Then, Chair, we will provide a breakdown on the two indicators in red on the ICT infrastructure and the information system solutions, where we did not achieve the 80%, 75% of ICT infrastructure targets were achieved, and 76% of the IS solutions relative to a target of 85%. The prioritized areas for the fixed establishment, Chair, we targeted four. We achieved one in the financial year. So that is underperformance. And then, Chair, the rest of the indicators on the slide at the bottom talks to specific training programs. For instance, your in terms of prioritized training, crime prevention, crimes against women and children, and crime investigation, we did achieve the target of a 97% competency rate with the number of people that were trained as indicated in brackets. In quarter four, we indicate the number of learners, and then in the annual result, we indicate the total number of people that were trained during the financial year. The disciplinary hearings, Chair, we targeted 90% within 60 calendar days. We've achieved 90.22%, and that is a total of 1,278 that we dealt with. We dealt with 5,666 service terminations, of which 93.86% were finalized within the prescribed time frame of 60 working days. That's better than the set target. On slide 23, Chair, that's the training, the respective training programs that are continuing. And in the respect of the four from 11.1 to 11.4, public order policing, forensic science, crime intelligence, and cybercrime, Chair, you will note that we did achieve the targeted 97% competency rate, and the total number of people that were trained in terms of the respective programs are indicated. 10,532 for public order policing, 2,411 for forensic science, 1,196 for crime intelligence, and 901 for cybercrime. As far as the declaring members competent in terms of the use of firearm, our target was 95%. We've achieved 91.99%. So that is below the set target, and a total of 2,354 members were trained in this regard. IPED recommendations, Chair, we dealt with a total of 815, and all of them were initiated within the prescribed time frame of 30 calendar days. IPED disciplinary hearings, Chair, we dealt with a total of 197. We targeted 90% to be finalized within 60 days. We've achieved 90.36%. Capital work programs, as far as the specific targeted capital work projects are concerned, 129 out of 144 were achieved. As indicated, it is only as far as the planned maintenance is concerned where we targeted a total of 17, where 11.67% or two of the 17 were achieved through the financial year. Mobile contact points, we targeted 15, that was not achieved. Bullet resistant vest, we had to ensure that 100% of the demand that was addressed, the demand was 10,538 bullet BRVs to be issued, we managed 95.44%. The loss of firearms, Chair, our target was not to exceed 605. We ended the financial year on 672, so that is also in red, higher than the target. And radio communication sites under target, we targeted 112. We did 5 in quarter 4 and 26 for the financial year, so that's below the set target. The national network communication infrastructure, we targeted 240 WAN or wide area network sites and 180 LAN sites. of we none of the WAN sites were completed and only 5 of the LAN sites were completed. Closed circuit television, we targeted 129 sites, 0 were achieved in the financial year. The same applies to the procurement of remotely piloted aircraft systems, where we targeted 10, of which none were procured in the financial year. ICDMS sites for case management, we targeted 18, of which we achieved 10. And then the modernized incident management capabilities, we targeted 6 10111 centers and 16,200 vehicles to be equipped with monitoring units. None of those were achieved. And then as far as the person management capabilities is concerned, the PIVA sites, we target 266. We've achieved 338 through the financial year. And then as far as the audit is concerned, by the end of the financial year, 84% of the targeted audits were completed and 75% of the forensic investigations, that's below the set target of 100%. And then as far as the management intervention, now inspectorate interventions are concerned, they targeted a total of 270 police stations, which were achieved in the financial year. In program 2, Chair, visible policing, we are monitoring a total of 34 indicators, of which we achieved 24. The crime, I'm not going to go into the detail, Chair, because this was presented in detail when the Minister did the release of the crime statistics. But just in short, as far as reported serious crime is concerned, although there was a reduction of 2.7%, it's unfortunate it's in red because our target was set at 3.7% for the specific financial year. CPFs, we had the CPFs at 1,149 of the 1145 police stations, and that's within the target. And then as far as contact crime is concerned, we had an increase of 0.6% indicated in red versus a target of a reduction of 7.6%. And then all the other categories, contact related, property related, and other serious crime, as well as the serious crime, the identified 30 high crime stations, as it was presented by the Minister, Chair, there we have the decreases recorded as indicated on the slide. It is the pattern as far as contact crime is concerned, however, repeats itself at our high crime stations at the bottom of the slide, where we saw a reduction of 0.1% relative to a target that was set of 6.7%. Recovery of firearms, we targeted 5,404, we achieved 4,204, that is in red, with 1,036 in the fourth quarter. We did quite well with the recovery of lost and stolen SAPS firearms, where we targeted 156. 102 recovered in the second quarter, we ended on 459. Recovery of vehicles, so the annual results must be indicated in red. Our target, in green, my apologies. The target was set at 36,548, we ended at 36,674. And escapes in custody, we had 680, that is lower than the target at 769 for the financial year. Firearm licenses, we have not achieved the 90% to be processed within 90 working days. We've achieved 80.58% annually. And then as far as reaction time is concerned, we did achieve the targets, but it's only as far as Charlie complaints is concerned where we are slightly above the set targets. Victim-friendly facilities, 100%, victim-friendly services. We targeted 100 police stations. We had one police station at the end of the financial year that did not render a victim-friendly services yet, as it was a newly established police station. The community outreach programs, we did 75. That is more than the target at 65. And we've also implemented the rural safety strategy at 877 police stations relative to a target of 865. And then as far as the school safety program is concerned, Chair, we ended below 500 below the target of 1,300. We ended on 1,250. We ended 50 below the set target. And then, Chair, as far as the ORS, Operational Response Services environment is concerned, we did respond to all the crime-related hits, the vehicles that has been profiled for the purpose of searches in terms of illicit drugs, firearms, robbed vehicles, consignment, smuggled persons, etc. We did a total of 4,508 responses on the movement control system, the vehicles, containers, and cargo that were profiled, a total of 18,122. And then, Chair, on slide 30, there's just a breakdown of the figures. I'm not going to read them. We've responded to all those hits and profiles that we were required to do. So they are indicated on the slide with the totals that are reflected in the brackets. Crowd management, Chair, we responded to a total of 12,244. We responded to a total of 8,608 incidents, high-risk incidents. And then at the bottom of the slide, we get a breakdown. The high-risk incidents attended to by our National Intervention Unit, a total of 1,202, and the Special Task Force responded to a total of 977. We also responded in terms of crowd management, 225 were categorized as peaceful crowd management incident, and then we had a total of figures included in that last column is not correct. It should be the other way around. Crowd management, 1,927 peaceful, and unrest, a total of 948. Chair, then the Detective Service Environment Program 3, there we are monitoring a total of 40 indicators, of which 25 were achieved. In brief, the areas of underperformance indicated in red relates primarily to our detection rate, where the detection rate for serious crime, we ended on 36.17% relative to a target of 37.25%. Contact crime, we ended on a target, annual result of 49.13% relative to a target of 55.22%. Crimes against women and children, we ended on 72.92% relative to a target of 75%. And detection rate for crimes against children, we ended on 66.14% relative to a target of 70.05%. As far as trial ready are concerned, trial ready, that refers to the percentage of docket in court that are considered to be ready for trial. There we have achieved the target in terms of all the categories as it is indicated on the slide. And then here we have the detailed breakdown of the respective categories as it is reflected on this slide, and Chair, we will know that we've achieved all the targets as indicated. It's only the detection rate for other serious crime where our target was set at 36.80%, where we have achieved 35.90% at the end of the financial year. As far as the other categories of crimes are concerned, targets were achieved as it is reflected. The 30 high crime stations, our detection rate for the serious crime category, we targeted 37.65%, we ended on 30.8%. And then contact crime detection rate at those high crime stations, we've targeted 55, we ended on 36.92%. Then, Chair, our reduction in wanted persons that has been circulated at the high crime stations, we targeted a reduction of 10%, we've achieved 15.87%. Then within the DPCI environment, Chair, starting at bullet number 22, the targets within the first four targets within the DPCI environment was achieved, 89.63% trial ready for fraud and corruption, 92.72% conviction rate for fraud and corruption, 100% conviction rate for fraud and corruption within the public sector, and a 98% conviction rate for fraud and corruption in the private sector. They've also achieved 98.15% conviction rate for serial commercial crime. The registered organized crime projects, a total of 7 out of 10 completed, that equals 70% relative to a target of 72%. And then the cybercrime investigations, the percentage that were successfully investigated, 80.22%, 88.89% trial-ready dockets for fraud and corruption within the public sector, and 76% fraud and corruption trial ready dockets with fraud and corruption within the private sector, and the target was achieved. The serious commercial related crime, our target was 65%. We ended on 63.79%, so that was under the targeted performance. And then a total of clandestine laboratories were dismantled with the number of arrests as indicated. Then, within the forensic environment, we have a number of indicators that are indicated in red. The previous conviction reports generated within the 15 calendar is 95%. There we have achieved 96.85%, that is in green. Our backlog that should not exceed 10%, we ended on a backlog of 27.06%. And then the trial ready update in respect of guilty verdicts, our target was 95%. Within 20 days, we've achieved 89%. Trial ready updates in terms of not guilty verdicts, we targeted 95%. In 20 days, we've achieved 90%. Routine case exhibits finalized 75%. Within 35 days, we ended on 63.75%. And then non-routine case exhibits 79% that was dealt with within 113 calendar days. With ballistic intelligence, our target was 95% within 35 calendar days. We've achieved 84.64 in annual result, and then 97%. So there was an improvement in the fourth quarter, but unfortunately not enough to influence the annual result to get it be higher than the set target. And then the DNA case exhibit entries finalized within 90 calendar days, we ended on 59.87% relative to a target of 80%. In the crime intelligence environment, Chair, we network operations. Chair, you will note that in most of the indicators within the crime intelligence environment, we've exceeded in some instances by far the targeted results. Our target for network operations was 570. We ended on 799. That's 140% of what we initially targeted. Security, risk, and vettings, we targeted 4,954. We ended on 6,500. That's 131%, or 31 percentage points better than the target. Intelligence reports operationalized, we targeted 70%. We've achieved 79%. The only red one on this slide is the Interpol interaction in terms of cross-border operations and requests for arrest, where we only attended to 63.83% of the requests received relative to a target of 100%. Security clearances, target 1154, Chair, we dealt with 1287. And then ICT security assessments, a total of 4,440. That's also 40 percentage point better than the target of 3,160. And then percentage of mandatory physical security assessments, we dealt with a total of 796. That is also 24.38 percentage points better than the target. Security awareness programs, a total of 536. It's 75.16 percentage points better than the target of 306. The utilization of our intelligence reports, Chair, we have two categories, proactive intelligence reports, that is 9, 10, and 11, and then reactive 12 up to 14. It is in two instances, specifically at provincial level, we did not achieve the targeted utilization level. Provincial level proactive intelligence report, 78.69%. Our target was 80. And then the reactive intelligence reports at the same level where we have a target of 80%, we've achieved 61.47. And then reactive intelligence reports, 86% relative to a target of 90%. Cross-border operations, we attended to a total of 100% of the requests received. That is 4 from 4 in the financial year. And then in this fourth quarter, and then as far as the transnational crime suspect requests were received, we attended to a total of 54.05% of the requests relative to a target of 100%. So I'm going to briefly do the protection and security program. The indicators primarily focus on security breaches within the protection and security environment, as well as presidential protection. The figures are indicated. We had no incidents of security breaches as far as VIP protection and static protection is concerned. That is both within protection and security services, the overall, and as well as the presidential protection services. Now, strategic installations, protection and security, they've audited 126 on target, and they've also done 217 national key points. And then, Chair, the last slide is presidential protection. There you will also note that we had no incidents of security breaches. And as far as the national key points in that responsibility is concerned, we have a total of 11 that were conducted. So that concludes the part of the presentation on the fourth quarter. We will then immediately move to quarter one of the current financial year. And I will, as soon as I have it up and running, I will then request the Chair, with your permission, that General Dimpane just deals with the financials associated with quarter one of the current financial year. General Dimpane, please, ma'am.
Thank you, Chair. The first quarter ends at the end of June. We are indicating on the first slide that past expenditure for multiple years are utilized to perform expenditure analysis and to project anticipated
Chairperson, I'm sorry to disturb.
I am back now. Minister.
I don't know why they don't send you the message. Why they just send me that? Why is only Major General Reed they can see, but they can't see General Timban? I don't know why they send the message to me.
Honourable members, when you do the presentation or you speak, please unmute your video so that you are visible.
Thank you.
If you're doing the presentation, we need you to be visible. You may continue.
Thank you, Chair. I am not sure if I am visible in terms of the video. I have activated it.
Your office is visible, but you are not visible, General.
Thank you, Chair.
Could we just assist? Could we please assist, General? It says here, General Dimpane, but there's a, are we ready now?
Chair, she must turn on her video and focus.
Yes, I asked her to turn on her video. Could she maybe move to a gadget where the video is possible?
No, her video is possible, but she's focusing it on the files instead of on her face.
Yes. That's why I'm asking that they assist her.
Yes.
We have a serious noise now.
Thank you, Chair.
We have the photo of General Rabi.
Chair,
I will start with the first slide.
Yes, there you are now. Thank you very much, General Nelson. You may continue.
I apologize, Chief. The question one will then be in relation to...
General, sorry for interrupting you again. There's a very bad echo and noise where you are. Start, let me hear. That's better.
Slide number one, we'll talk to the period April up to June.
Not working. It's still not working. Yes.
Chairperson, is it not better when you go back to the audio, because we're fine with audio?
Let us, please, let's try just the audio now.
Although indicative in nature, the expenditures of each quarter in a financial year will not be precisely equal.
My apologies,
this is caused
General,
by reasons such as delivery of vehicles.
Apologies.
Other equipment, invoices of
general,
as well as of salary increases. The next slide.
My apologies, General. Can you hear me? General, switch off your video so that we can have
General,
a better audio.
Slide. General Limpane.
General Razis, next slide indicates total spending for the vote for 2021. The first quarter, the total expenditure as at 30 June, we had spent 22.7% of that particular allocation, with a linear indication of 25%. The remainder of the budget for 2021 being 77.3%. Next slide. The next slide is a comparison with previous financial years, which is 2019-20. Up to the first quarter in 1920, we had utilized 24.1%, which was nearly similar to this year's financial year at the first quarter. So this is just a comparison in terms of last year. Next slide.
Honorable members, could you please mute your mic?
The trends are similar for April. We had 7.8, May 15.4, and June 22.7. When you compare with the previous 4 years, the trends are more or less the same. Next slide. In relation to program spending, amounts as at 30 June 2020, program one, which is our administration program, there was an adjusted estimate of 20 billion. As at end of June, we had spent 4.5 billion, which is 22.8%. Program two, visible policing, with an allocation of 57 billion as at end of June, expenditure at 13.1 billion, which is a spending of 23%. Program three, detective services, an adjusted estimate of 20.4 billion. As at the end of June, 4.4 billion was spent. That translates to 21.8%. Program 4, crime intelligence, with adjusted estimate of 4.4 billion. As at end of June, 1 billion was spent, with a total percentage of 22.8%. Program 5, protection and security services, adjusted estimates allocated 3.3 billion, with expenditure as at the end of June being 789 million, which represents 23.4%. Total spending was 22.7%, as indicated, was in line with the linear benchmark, which is 25% as at the end of June. This slide indicates just a graphical illustration of program spending, with the remainder almost at 78% and 77% for all the programs. Key spending trends for the vote per program reasonably in line for the first time of the financial year. Next slide. Overview of spending performance at program level. We are indicating that for program one, we experienced a lower than linear spending, mainly as a result of salary increases that were not paid as anticipated. COVID-19 lockdown regulations prevented movement of sub-employees as well as procurements that could not be processed. Building industry was also closed, and capital projects
could not be executed. This had an impact in relation to that lower spending. Program 2, 3, as well as 4 and 5, also lower than linear spending, mainly as a result of salary increases that were not paid as anticipated. COVID-19 lockdown regulations prevented movement of sub-employees between provinces, as well as procurements that could not be processed. Basically, no capital programs, procurements such as vehicles could be done during quarter number one. Program 2, visible policing, the baseline prioritization towards COVID-19 expenditure was required from subs, and additional funding of 3.7 billion earmarked by National Treasury was allocated during the special adjustment budget in support of subs response to COVID-19 pandemic. Allocation of such to Program 2 was done in June 2020, and spending thereon also had an impact on this particular program. Next slide. In relation to compensation of employees, as at the end of June, the actual spending was 23.5% of the allocated budget, and it is slightly lower than the 25% linear benchmark. As at end of June, still to be paid was the cost of living salary increases from April to 2020. This is particular process is currently in the labor court. Alternatively, funding in the budget will be suspended during the adjustment estimate budget process. Pay progression was also not yet dealt with because the effective date was 1 July 2020. Next slide. Overview of spending performance at economic level 2. Spending on goods and services comprised of 21.7% of the allocated budget. As indicated previously, we were largely affected by COVID-19 lockdown regulations and movement restrictions. Expenditure on COVID-19 project was 1.373 billion as at the end of June 2020. Integrated criminal justice strategy spending was below linear benchmark. Some public works invoices were received up to June were much lower than anticipated. This was as a result of municipalities and DPW being affected by a lockdown. Transfers and subsidies were slightly higher than the linear benchmark at 27.6% as a result of exit payments that were made for early retirements of 31 March 2020. We had to pay capped leave as well as in-year pro-rata leave payments. Payments for capital assets comprised of 4.9% of the allocated budget. The buildings and infrastructure was lower than expected. The effect of COVID-19 was really, we had a negative impact in relation to that program. Machinery and equipment, historical spending tendencies reflect increased spending during the latter part of the financial year as deliveries of vehicles mainly takes place during the latter part of the financial year. This, according to us, is a normal trend, and under expenditure of this item is not a real risk. Previous delivery trends underwrite this inference. Next slide. This was a summary chair in relation to quarter number one in relation to the financial results. We were mainly affected by your COVID-19 lockdown regulations. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I will then continue with section two of the presentation, that is the first quarter performance results. And I would say for the committee, I think it is important to just explain the targets and the performance of the first quarter. Initially, the first APP that we presented as a department to Parliament, that we tabled in Parliament, we got a directive from DPME, the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation, that we, in terms of our performance reporting, we need to still focus on the initial target that we set for the purpose of the first quarter. So what we will be presenting, Chair, is not the amended target that we changed, that we submitted in terms of the addendum. The DPME directive indicated that when we do the second quarter performance, then we can include the revised targets as we revise them following the outbreak of COVID-19. Chair, so what we will be presenting focuses still on the initial targets. We, in terms of our APP for the current financial 2021 financial year, We are monitoring a total of 96 targets, performance indicators, of which we have achieved 49, total of 51% in the first quarter. In the 41%, we did not achieve the target. And then there are 7 indicators that we will be monitoring throughout the financial year, and we will report at the end of the financial year because of the duration of those specific projects. And then at the bottom of the slide, Chair, we give a breakdown of the relative relevant financial programs, but it's repeated when we get to the specific programs. Now, as far as program one is concerned, we are monitoring a total of 21 performance indicators. We have achieved 6, that is 28.57%. 11, we did not achieve the target, that is 52%. And then there are 4 performance annual performance indicators, which we will only be able to report at the end of the financial year, what we will provide progress as far as the 4 are concerned. The losses of SAPS, the loss of SAPS owned firearms, at the first, our target for the first quarter was it should not exceed 144. Our annual target is not to exceed 577. Chair, there we did achieve the target. In terms of the first quarter, of we lost a total number of 121 were reported as lost and stolen. Now, as far as the new contact points are establishing, we are targeting a total of two new police stations, which we will report on at the end of the financial year. But thus far, consultants were activated to finalize the scope of work to allow for the procurement of building material as far as these two police stations are concerned. The number of new contact points, specifically our mobile contact points, Honorable Chair, I assume the committee will recall that this was also reported on in the previous financial year. So the 15 are carried over into the new financial year. At this point in time, the bid conversion was advertised on the 13th of March. That was last year, 2019. It was then cancelled on 24 February 2020. So the chassis that we procured could not be converted in the previous financial year. So a new requirement for the establishment of a conversion contract was submitted on the 3rd of March 2020. The bid was advertised on 19 June and it closed on the 17th of July, currently being considered. The performance indicators as far as the TMS, Technology Management Services environment, is concerned, we are targeting a total of 45 high sites for the financial year. Chair, this, if I may use this as an example, number 4, we initially targeted 3 high sites for the current quarter or the first quarter of the current financial year. Now, this has since been reviewed because of the outbreak of COVID-19 and the impact of COVID-19. But as per the DPME directive, for the first quarter, we must still include the initial target that we set. So consequently, no digital high sites were erected or established. So that gives us a 0 result for the first quarter, indicated as red. Our target of 488 WAN sites, 29 for quarter one. None of these were achieved and directly impacted by the outbreak of COVID-19. And then, Chair, the indicators number 6 and 7 relate specifically to training. And Chair will note that we were not able, due to the restrictions on placed on the movement and gathering of people, we were not able to train any people in the first quarter. So as a result, these are currently all indicated as in red, because we were not able to train any members in terms of the prioritized training programs, including the ones that I'm going to list now, the crimes against women and children, that is number 7. The same applies to crime investigation, number 8, public order policing, number 9, and forensic sciences, number 10. We are with regard to all of them, we are targeting a 97% competency rate, but no training interventions took place during the first quarter. Then the specialized training, crime intelligence, cybercrime, the same as indicated. We did no training took place, and as a result, the 0, the targets for the first quarter and second quarter are 4-4. The first quarter, as far as the first 2 indicators are concerned, are indicated as 0. As far as the compliance with our ethics and integrity plan is concerned, Chair, we did achieve the target. as the different phases within the financial year is concerned. In quarter one, we focus on the financial disclosures, and 100% to 830 financial disclosures were submitted by the due date as indicated. And then further to that, Chair, our ethics interventions were also, we continued with those interventions during the COVID-19 operations. 57 operations were visited in 5 provinces, 2,044 members were reached. We distributed a total of 2,800 flyers and pamphlets on the topic. And furthermore, we 2 internal communications were also issued, as well as an advocacy and awareness video that is specifically designed for the When Duty Calls program. IPIT investigations, we've only received 1 in quarter one. Our target is to implement the recommendations within 60 calendar days. 90% of those, Chair, we only received 1, and that is still pending within the 60 days at the time of reporting. Unauthorized expenditure, we are targeting 0 incidents. We had no 0 incidents in the first quarter, and that is also in line with our target. Chair, then we are targeting a decrease of 5% on our irregular expenditure. We've actually achieved a 100% reduction in the first quarter. We had 0 incidents compared to 4 incidents in the same period in the previous financial year. We are targeting a decrease of 5% in fruitless and wasteful expenditure. We've achieved 41.2% reduction in the first quarter, where we had 37 incidents compared to 63 incidents in the same period in the previous financial year. The corporate governance framework, Chair, with us currently in development with a target on 31 March, and that will be reported on in the end of the financial year. Our audits completed. Chair, these as far as the audits and the inspections are concerned, number 21 refers to the inspections. It is important to note that the initial planning of both internal audit and inspectorate were affected by the outbreak of COVID-19. But still, our internal audit targeted 11 audits to be done in the first quarter. They've done 10, so that gives you 6.54%. And also taking note that there was a diversion of resources as a result of COVID-19. Our forensic investigations, due to the duration of these projects, we will report on them in the fourth quarter annually, Chair. We are targeting a total of 8 for the financial year, and none so far were completed in the first year, in the first quarter of the current financial year. Our inspections, we planned a total of 309 inspections to be conducted in the financial year, of which 56 was supposed to be conducted in the first quarter. In the first quarter, none of those that we initially planned were conducted as a result of our inspectorate component or division being diverted to attend to issues of compliance that relates to COVID-19. Chair, I'm not going to present the graphs. So what we have done for the purpose of the committee is we have included a couple of slides where we give a graphic representation of all the indicators, and if it was achieved, it is, as the first one, you will note that there's a green border around the graph that gives you an indication that the target was achieved, and then we give you a breakdown of the statistics. But I'm not going to, I've already presented that. This is just to give you a graphic representation of all the targets. I'm then moving to Visible Policing Program 2, where we are currently monitoring a total of 26 targets. 18 were achieved, 7 not achieved, and there's 1 that we will achieve on annually. In terms of the first performance indicators, the recovery of lost and stolen firearms. Our target for the first quarter of the financial year was 893. We achieved a total of 280, so that's below the set target. However, as far as the recovery of police lost SAPS firearms are concerned, we targeted a total of 107. In quarter one, we've achieved 139. And then, Chair, relative to if we compare it to the previous financial year and what I presented earlier on the firearm licenses, there's a notable decrease in the percentage of firearm applications that has been finalized within 90 working days. Our target was 90%. We are currently standing at 31.55%. We dealt with a total of 11,618 applications. But this was also impacted directly by COVID-19 because, for instance, we had not had access in terms of the visits that had to be conducted, etc. Liquor outlets. Our target is that we close 90% of the identified illegal liquor outlets. In the first quarter, a total of 1,552 illegal liquor outlets were identified and closed. Then what was, Honorable Chair, that was presented by the Minister in terms of the quarterly release of crime stats on the first quarter. We are targeting a 7.5% reduction in contact crime. There was a 37.9% reduction in the first quarter as far as the contact crimes are concerned. The same applies to our 30 high crime stations, where we were targeting a 7.5% reduction initially, where we did achieve then a 43.5% reduction. Escapes from custody. Our target was not to exceed 155 in the first quarter. We recorded 132 incidents, so that's below the set target. Recovery of stolen vehicles. We targeted 8,349 in quarter one. We recovered a total of 4,429, which includes 3,647 identified vehicles, 769 unidentified vehicles, and 13 that were recovered in cross-border operations. In victim-friendly services, on our chair, we have all police stations, 1,155 currently renders a victim-friendly service to victims of crime, including your GBF. Then, Chair, we are targeting a 7.6% reduction in contact crimes against women. We've seen an increase of 7.8% in quarter one as far as crimes against women is concerned, and as well as an increase of 9.7% when we talk about crimes against children relative to a target of a reduction of 7.5%. And then the police CPFs, we currently have CPFs at 1,153 of our police stations. Strategic partnerships, the functional strategic partnerships, we've targeted one to be executed in quarter one. We did not achieve that, and that was also directly impacted by COVID-19 as well as the restrictions that were placed. Community in blue concept, that is, we're targeting a total of 9 provinces by the end of the financial year. Our target was 3 provinces in the first quarter. That was also impacted by COVID-19 as well as the restrictions, and consequently, none of these were implemented as initially targeted. Traditional policing concept, this is to be completed by the end of the financial year. There was a draft implementation plan on which, as the current progress is concerned, with the detail indicating the areas that has been focused, but that has been identified. But in terms of the first quarter, and due to the COVID-19 restrictions, the required interaction with partners was also affected. And we are currently with a process targeting Mpumalanga province. The directive has been compiled for the purpose of facilitating that in the province as soon as the circumstances allow. Safer cities, we've identified a total of 10 for the current financial year, of which 2 pilot cities were targeted in the first quarter. We did achieve 3. And then the remainder of the indicators, Chair, talks to the crowd management. We dealt with a total of 713 peaceful, 527 unrest crowd management in quarter one. So all the requests were attended to. We attended to 170 high-risk operations. All the requests were attended to, and as far as the safe delivery of valuable cargo is concerned, we attended to a total of 26, so 100% of the requests attended to. One of the new indicators that we've added, Chair, is our response to the disruption of illegal mining operations. We've attended to 100% of the requests received, and then as far as the hits on our crime on our movement control system and enhanced movement control system at ports of entry is concerned. We responded to all those requests as far as wanted persons and robbed vehicles are concerned. And then the percentage of profiled vehicles at land port search for illegal facilitation, we attended to 182. So that is 100% of the vehicles that were profiled. Containers, we attended to 100%, a total of 692 containers that were profiled and searched. And in cargo profiled and searched, we attended to a total of 341, 100% of the requests received. And then, Chair, there's just graphics for all of those indicators, which I'm going to skip and straight then move to the next program, Detective Service. Here we are monitoring a total of 29 indicators, of which we achieved 15 or 52%, and 12 indicators we did not achieve the target. Similar to the previous financial year, Chair, we have the problem with your detection rate continues in terms of the set targets. Our target for detection rate contact crime set at 55%. We are in quarter one, we were standing at 48.6%. Detection rate at our 30 high crime stations, we've achieved 35.78% relative to a target of 56.23%. Then the percentage reduction, Chair, we've added a couple of indicators that relates to cold cases. And the first one is number three, outstanding case dockets to that relates to contact crimes older than 3 years. We've identified a total of 48,719 dockets to be attended to, and our target was to decrease that with 14.7%. We've achieved 7.6% in the first quarter. So that is in terms of the financial, the annual result, that's almost half of what we're targeting in the year. Outstanding wanted persons for contact crime. In the financial year, we are targeting 10%. We've identified 37,196 outstanding wanted persons at these stations, and we've attended to 13% or 5,086 of those in quarter one. Then we have the detection rate for crimes against women, where we are targeting 75%. We are standing at 72%. The outstanding case dockets that relates to women older than 1 year, there we have identified a total of 8,289, and we've attended to 2,153 of those cases in quarter one. So that is down managing it already with 25.97%. Detection rate for children, our target is 70%. We are standing at 48%. The outstanding case dockets older than 1 year for crimes against children, we've identified a total of 4,274 for the financial year. We've dealt with 1,048 in quarter one, so that's already 24.52% of the identified dockets. The syndicates, drug syndicates with arrest, one syndicate was neutralized from a total of 17 identified, but due to the time frame associated with that, we do not do an interpretation of the quarter, Chair, because it takes the time to investigate these syndicates and neutralize them, requires us to then report on an annual basis. The increase in the number of arrests for dealing in illicit drugs, our target was 40 arrests that were made in the first quarter, and that is relative to 21. So that's a 90.48% improvement compared to the first the same period in the previous financial year. Percentage of identified criminal groups neutralized with arrest, we will be reporting on that in the fourth quarter. Compliance with the taking of buccal samples in terms of your Schedule 8 arrested offenses, the target is 60%. We've achieved 27.84% in the first quarter, so we took buccal samples from a total 12,476 from a total of 44,812, which is below the set target. The reduction in outstanding person-to-crime DNA investigative leads, we've identified a total of 2,399. We dealt with 1,841 in quarter four, which already represents 76% of the outstanding investigative leads identified. the crime-to-crime DNA investigative leads, where we are targeting a reduction of 5%. We reduced with 72% in quarter one. We have identified a total of 1,367, of which 993 were dealt with in quarter one. Outstanding fingerprints investigative leads, also a reduction of 5%. We have identified here a total of 1,777, of which 102 were dealt with in quarter one, which represents 5.74%. IBIS investigative leads, there we are below the target of 5% reduction. The total of 1,724 were identified, of which we dealt with 17. The trial-ready case dockets for serious corruption, this is now within the DPCI environment with a target of 50%. They have achieved 86.41% in quarter one. The case dockets for serious corruption private sector target 50%, actual result 83%. Trial-ready dockets for serious corruption within the JCPS cluster, 50% target, actual achievement 89.35%. The identified clandestine laboratories that dismantled with arrest, the total of 90%, we've achieved 88.89%. So 8 out of the 9 were dismantled with 19 arrests. Trial-ready dockets for serious commercial crime target 65%, actual result 66%. Cybercrime investigation files investigated 45% target, actual result 58%. And then, Chair, we are moving into the forensic services environment where, first of all, the updating of our results of trial, guilty verdict, we have a target of 95% within 20 days. We were approximately 2.5 percentage points below the target on 92.58%. The same applies to not guilty verdicts, where we are also targeting 95%, and the first quarter result is 92.24%. The routine case exhibits to be 75% to be processed in 35 calendar days. Our actual result was 51.05% relative to the target of 75%. And non-routine, where we did achieve the target 70% to be processed within 113 days, we have achieved 80.45%. Our backlog on case exhibits, Honorable Chair, the backlog should not exceed 10%. The current backlog is standing at 266%, where we have a backlog of 142,000 relative to the case, the new registration of 53,418. IBIS, our percentage of ballistic intelligence case exhibits finalized, we're targeting 95%, we are standing at 98.39%. And then the DNA intelligence case exhibits, we are targeting 80% to be processed within 90 calendar days, we are currently standing at 20.77%, so that is also set below the target. I'm then skipping the graphic representations of the respective targets, moving to Crime Intelligence Program 4, where we are monitoring a total of 13 indicators, of which we achieved 5 and 7 we did not achieve the targets. Network operations, we dealt with, there's not a target for the first quarter due to the time frames associated with these operations, but we've so far dealt with 66 out of 570, so that represents 11.58%. And then, Chair, similarly to what I presented in the quarter four report, the operationalization of our proactive and reactive intelligence reports, we are targeting 70% at cluster level. We did achieve 85%. We have targeted 80% at provincial level. We've achieved 72%. So that is similar to the similar problem to the fourth quarter. And then at national level, we are targeting 90% there. We've achieved a total of 99.67 that has been operationalized. Looking at our reactive intelligence reports, number 5 going to number 7, is we are targeting 70% at cluster level. We did achieve 82% with the figures that have that are quoted. Reactive at provincial level, similar problem, we are targeting 80%, we achieve 73.36. And then the reactive intelligence reports at national level, we are targeting 90%, we've achieved 87.30%. Then, Chair, this is also directly impacted the next indicators are by the outbreak of COVID-19, our security clearances. We are targeting 1,154. We were supposed to deal with 288 or 24% in quarter one. We only dealt with 12.39% or 143, but that directly relates to our inability to execute or to do the security clearances in terms of the requirements. The same applies to our ICT security assessments, where we are targeting 25% or 790 of the 3,160 in quarter one. We did 11% or 359. The mandatory physical security assessments, we are targeting 640, of which we targeted 25% or 160. In quarter one, we did achieve 8.28% or 53. And then our security awareness programs, we targeted 360 in the financial year, but we were not able to include any to conclude any in the first quarter. So the last four indicators here from 8 to 11 is directly as an impact of the restrictions that has been placed as far as COVID-19 is concerned. Interpol, there was no request in the first quarter on the chief of cross-border operations. We dealt with four requests for the arrest of suspects. Facilitators, 100% of those were attended to in quarter one. Then there's a graphic representation of the respective indicators. And then, say, within Program 5, Protection and Security, there were no security breaches. Looking at your in-transit protection as well as your static protection, however, our ability to do the audits of strategic installations has been affected. We were targeting 47 in quarter one, of which none could be done. The national key points, we were targeting 52 in quarter one out of the 209. We were able to do 20, but it's below the set target. It's 9.57% of the annual result. And presidential protection, no security breaches. They are, however, were able so far, Honorable Chair, to do the evaluation of the national key points, the 11. They targeted 2 or 18% for quarter one. They did 3, so that is better than the initial set target for quarter one. So then we have a graphic representation of the respective indicators, and that concludes the presentation of the first quarter's results. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you very much for those relations. General Sotole, just before I continue, I do not note the head of the DPCI, and I do not see the head of crime intelligence, unless they are Galaxy Note 5, and they also identify one identified as 0602. 7288. General Sotole, these people do not identify themselves. I'm going to ask the host to kick them out for security reasons. So could I please have an indication where the head of the DPCI and where the head of crime intelligence before I continue?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think the head of DPCI is dressed on the most beautiful tie today and is on the screen waving his hand. The head of the Divisional Commissioner for Crime Intelligence is on sick leave, and the crime intelligence is represented by Brigadier Lombard. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much for that explanation. Welcome, Judge. Honorable members, Honorable Minister, we'll take a 15-minute comfort break. We are not live, so this is a recording. We'll take a 15-minute comfort break, and then please do not log out. We'll return, now it's 10 to 11, we'll return by 5 past 11. And then I'll take questions. So you have a 15-minute break, and then please return exactly by 11:05. We'll start with questions immediately at 11:05. And again, please do not log out. We will continue on this platform. And if you continue logging out and logging in, you may be excused now for 15 minutes and then please return.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Minister. Honourable members, I have noted first Honourable Tablanche, Groenewald second, Shembeni third, Meshu, I don't see him now, but he was four, and then Majozi, Mapatsu, Molekwa, Patrain, Faku. I will start with Honourable Tablanche. Honourable Tablanche, you may ask your question. Could I start with three questions and then we continue to Groenewald? Honourable Tablanche.
Chairperson, thank you. Chairperson, while the minister is there, I'm going to ask the three questions that you referred to.
Honourable Tablanche, do you have more than three?
Yes, Chairperson, if time allows, there's still a few, but I can ask that only.
We have 2 hours.
Okay.
So could I ask three and then we take a second round? Are you
thank
happy?
You. That will be okay. Fine with me, Chairperson. Thank you.
Start with
Chairperson, to the Minister, Minister, there's significant underperformance in the forensic service laboratories. And, you know, this has been a problem, a long-standing problem that we have. And I was just wondering, Minister, what do you suggest or what do you plan, you know, to turn that area around to make sure that we're going to have, you know, all the evidence that is necessary to charge people in court? That is my first question. Chairperson, then there's also an underperformance in terms of the finalization of firearm licenses. A court ruled also that SAPS and the CITA have been using the firearm permit system unlawfully for more than a year, which is very concerning, and I also want to get clarity on that, Chairperson. Chairperson, then lastly, you know, one of the ongoing areas of concern is the underperformance to reduce crimes against women and children, and improve detection rates of these crimes should be addressed. Chairperson, this is, you know, we had a promise also by the President, and I think that everybody is, you know, committed to tackle this problem, and I'm just wondering what the minister's plans to address this issue. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Could I now have Honourable Dr. Groenewald?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, firstly, I want to start by saying that you will remember that last year when we had the BRRR or the reports and the discussions in this portfolio committee, I said in that meeting that it is of utmost importance that the Portfolio Committee on Police take hands with the police services to see how we can enhance the fighting against crime. I also said that we are a body, a committee, that represents the people of South Africa, and that we have the responsibility to ensure that there's proper oversight. So in that process of oversight, we look at everything. We criticize where we need to criticize. But I also said that we must also see from our side what we can do to strengthen the arms and the work of the police services so that we can fight crime effectively. Now, Chairperson, I also want to put it very clearly that there is a distinction between the functionality of the minister on the one side and the police services on the other side, in this sense that any operational issue is the responsibility of the National Commissioner. He is responsible for the operational functioning of the police services. And the Minister of Police has no jurisdiction on that. The Minister of Police cannot tell the National Commissioner how he should do his operational activities. But there should also be a very good relation between the ministry on the one side and the police services on the other side. So I want to emphasize the difference and the different responsibilities. The minister is responsible for the political issues. Minister, it is with real sadness that I have to ask you in this meeting this morning on your remarks as far as the situation in KZN, Normandin, is concerned. Minister, you are the responsible person when it comes to political issues to be a person that can set an example to see how we can fight crime. You made a statement when you lost your temper in Normandin, and you said that the farmers do not, and they must not complain if they get injured or hurt. Now, Minister, I want to ask you, can you please explain what you meant by that?
Sir, Dr. Kronewald, can you repeat? Can you just repeat that?
What I said, that you said, and you were quoted in the media, that you said that the farmers must not complain if they get injured or hurt. That was what was reported. Now, my question to you is on that one, firstly, what did you mean by that? Because the interpretation the farmers experience from that is that you are actually inciting violence against the farmers. You lost your temper because there was a farmer that asked you to respond whether it was fair for the farm dweller's cattle to graze on his crops. And you lost your temper. And you said, who does he think he is to ask such a question? And he's arrogant. And you also said, Honorable Minister, that a court case that was about 2-3 years ago, where the farmer was found not guilty, you said you will reopen that case. Now my question to you is, who are you to decide that you can reopen a case after the court made the final decision? How do you think that you can stabilize relationships if you make remarks like that? And I would really ask you to explain that. We have the situation in Senegal this morning. And maybe you should go and look what is happening in Senegal, Honorable Minister. I'm telling you that you are inciting violence. The Minister for Agriculture and Land Affairs, she condemned the murder on the young farmer about over the week, just before the weekend. I didn't hear anything from you. So, Chairperson, I would like to ask the minister to give clarity on his actions in this specific case. It's totally unacceptable that the minister of police can make a statement saying that farmers should not complain if they get injured or hurt. You must expect that there will be a reaction from the farmers. My next question to the Honorable Minister is, Minister, you said farmers is not a priority crime. Now, firstly, I can't see how you can determine which crimes are priority crimes or not, because I think that is an operational issue that is in the field of the commissioner, not on your political side. Chairperson, that is my specific questions to the minister. You said we can ask three questions, but I've asked about four questions to the minister alone, so I don't know whether you're going to allow me to ask questions on the budget as such, if you can lead me on that one.
Dr. Funuvas, you are out of order now. I asked you for three questions, you gave four. Now you want to go to five. But
I'll accept your ruling, but then that's my question. That's my question to the minister. Thank you.
Dr. Groenewald, you didn't let me complete. I said there will be a second round of questions. So please keep your number five for the second round. I already gave you four when I asked for three.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Chair.
Good. The next person I have is Honorable Shembeni.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you very much to the Minister and the National Commissioner and for the presentation. My first question is about the investigation into the alleged PPE procurement corruption, as to the department can indicate to us the status of the investigation into this corruption and what preventative steps have subs taken to mitigate against further fraudulent and corrupt activities in the procurement of the PPEs. Another one is the implementation of the ICDMS, the Integrated Case Docket Management System. To me, I found out that the department has failed to achieve in the implementation of the ICDMS at 18 police stations, which is concerning. Can the department indicate now the amount that has been spent to date on the development and implementation of the ICDMS? And secondly, on that, I want to know about the accuracy of the stats that are being given by SAPS, if they've got stations where ICDMS is not implemented. Because seemingly we are getting a lot of information about the registered dockets to court, finalized dockets. We get all of that information from this integrated case docket management system. So if there are part of stations, like 18 stations, where this it's not implemented, how is our information accurate about the stats that we get? And then thirdly, we've got members that did not successfully completed the training on the use of firearms or handguns. Now, what I want to know is that, are these members going to be or going to receive additional training, or steps are going to be taken against these members? And then What is the status now at the present moment? Are these members in position or using the firearms? If they are using the firearms, why are they using the firearms? Because we don't know whether they're competent or not. I thank you. I'll ask other questions in the next round. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Shembeni. Honorable Meshu.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question has to do with requests from Interpol member countries. The police miss their targets as they only managed to secure arrests of 63.83%. What I want to know from that is whether they are continuing to search for the criminals or the suspects that have been requested by Interpol member countries. And how far are they with their investigations? And the second one has to do with lost SAPS firearms, lost or stolen. Now, what I want to know is how they control firearms that are held by the police when they are off duty. I'm asking this question because somebody showed me a video clip that they did not want to give to me or to send to me, but they just showed it to me, that there was a police officer who was drunk. And some members of the community were pulling the firearm out and saying, if we wanted to take it, we can take it. But here is a man drunk, having a firearm, and we are able to take it out of his old holding without him even recognizing us. Now, I want to know whether the police are familiar with such abuse and irresponsibility, and how are they dealing with that? Because it is embarrassing and highly irresponsible to see a police officer drunk with their firearm being taken out of its holding without them even being aware of what's happening. Firearms are being lost. Some are stolen. And I'm not sure whether there are severe penalties for members who lose firearms, because there is a lot of carelessness with the handling of firearms by some police officers. And then my question has two parts to it. I want to know who decides whether or when to withdraw police protection from any detective that is dealing with high-profile cases. In the case of the assassination of one of the best, according to the police, the best detectives, Lieutenant Colonel Charles Kinier, who was assassinated in front of his house. Can the police tell us, the minister or the commissioner tell us, who withdrew his protection? And why did such a person withdraw the protection when they knew that he was dealing with very sensitive, high-profile cases? Would I be wrong to suspect that the person who withdrew police protection maybe was one of those who were on the list of those who would be charged or arrested? So my simple question is, who and on what basis is a police officer, a detective, who's one of the best in the country, could have their protection withdrawn? And what is going to be done about the person who withdrew that protection? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Meshu. I've now noted Honorable Majozi.
Thank you, Chair. Greetings to the Honorable Minister, the Deputy Minister, and Honorable Members. Mine would be a short term. What I would like to ask, because as we have seen in the performance indicators that the targets were not met, especially those related to crime the most. And what I want to know is similar to what Honorable Shembeni asked on the accuracy of the numbers that we have, because you find that there are still people who are complaining even today that they have not received their case numbers and so forth. So what I want to know is that when are we moving to online system in opening cases, and why are we still using the writing it out on documents, and how long will it take for them to get online? Because what we have seen today, Chairperson, on the performance indicators targets, I want to check here. I'm not sure how they wrote this, because once you've got an outcome, then we must be told whether there must be a note beside that on that outcome, whether yes, it has been achieved, but we must see that achieved, not achieved. Why is the cause that was not achieved? Because we don't want to go back and ask, why was this indicator not achieved? At least if we get on achieved and not achieved there on performance, on the outcomes, if we get why was it not achieved, we know that we come from a period where we were in the lockdown and police were meant to refocus on visibility and all of those things. But if we had received maybe a note on the other side to say, this target was not achieved because of 1, 2, 3, this target was not achieved because of 1, 2, 3, it makes life a lot easier than to be asking questions per indicator. But what we have seen, I think they have to pull up their socks in terms of crime. It's not looking good. If we can just get Chairperson, when are we moving to online in terms of cases, registering of cases? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Majozi. Honorable Mapatsu. If he is not there yet, Honorable Molekwa. Honorable Molekwa. Not having much luck. Honorable Patrey. Members, am I audible?
You are audible.
Yes, you are. Well, but I'm not getting any response. Honorable Mapatsu. Is not there, Molekwa?
Chairperson, you remember that Mapatsu requested to...
to leave.
Yes.
But I'm just checking. Yes. I'm checking if he's back, because he is still logged in. I asked him not to log out. So I'm just checking if he's back, which means he's not back yet. Could I then ask Honorable Molekwa? Patrain? It then takes me to Faku. I'll come back to them. Honorable Faku?
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to yourself and to honorable members. Chair, let us appreciate the report that we have received today. Chairperson, I just want to touch on the issue of farm murders that Honorable Groenewald has raised. You know, we read newspapers and the media. One thing that we must appreciate from the minister is that, especially in KZN, when there were farm murders, he was the first one to go to KZN to go and look into those matters. And even some farmers, like black farmers, were complaining that maybe minister is prioritizing white farmers. So I don't want us to politicize because of our constituency, this issue of farm murders. we should say that all matters must be prioritized by SAPS. It should not be only because I know Honorable Groenewald, some time ago, he was thanking the minister of the good work that he's doing in terms of farm killings. So I think we need to be consistent when we're raising, and we need not to rationalize the issue of farm murders. We are very clear as this committee that we don't want any farmers to be killed. So I think we must thank when good work has been done, but when there are gray areas, we must also raise those things. I have a question, Chair, in terms of gender-based violence, that we see there's a continued underperformance to reduce the crimes against women and children. We know that in South Africa, the gender-based violence is currently very high, and this is a priority from our government. I think maybe the department, maybe we're not doing justice on this point. Maybe you must come as and explain to us your action plan. I know that you did in the past, to come with an action plan to improve the performance of the scourges of gender-based violence, because really, on a daily basis, Minister, we hear that a young child is killed. Now there's a new thing of human trafficking of children and women. So it's every time that you are not safe as a woman. You know, my daughter next year, she's going to varsity. I'm even scared for her to go to, she wants to go to Free State and study. I'm even scared for her to go to Free State and study because of this issue of gender-based violence. I know that you are doing your utmost best, but we need more than that is currently being done. My second question would be, can you explain the higher planned spending on transfers and subsidies, which were primarily on households, mainly due to payment of packages to 786 employees that went on early retirement? Maybe was there no sufficient planning on the done so that there's smooth payment for these people? Can we just get responses to that? But I think some of my other questions are responded to. I'll come back again. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Faku. Honorable Minister, the work that is being done by law enforcement agencies at the moment is commendable. And we have to thank our frontline staff for the work they have been doing, particularly during the COVID-19 lockdown. We have listened to, and there was a broadcast on live television of the president's closing remarks at the ruling party Lakotla yesterday. The president made a point of, one, the movement of bribes, two, the use of financial systems to launder illicit money flows, three, I'm asking about human trafficking, and I would like us to also, as Honorable Faku, the government has prioritized gender-based violence as a priority crime. Gender-based violence and corruption will be monitored regularly by this committee. We have also included economic crimes and crimes committed in agriculture will also be considered to be an economic crime. I'm now going to hand over to the minister and the general and his team to respond. Thank you, Minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. To the members again, there are quite several questions that I will share, Chairperson, with the general and the operators, the management. The question asked by Honorable Member Terry Blatche of the underperforming of laboratories, I would want Commissioner and his team to take that one up. The firearm licensing, which is from Mr. Honorable Member Terry Blatche, is also asked by Honorable Member Moshe, the question of the firearm. The first question I'll take is the reduction of crime against children and women. No doubt about it, Comrade Chair. Sorry. No doubt about the Chair, that was properly placed by the President when he called it a second pandemic. It is. It's a trouble that all of us, we must fight. I have been making this point, and initially people did not understand the point. When I say this one is for the society to deal with rather than the agencies only, rather than the security agencies only and the chain, but also is more of a chain thing, starting with the police, prosecution, magistracy, going down to the correctional service. It's an issue that you don't have a one formula fits all. Chairperson, as you remember your previous financial year statistics, 18,000 women were abused, especially raped, in their own houses, in the houses they know, in the houses of their own fathers, in the houses of their own brothers and uncles, 18,000 of them, which then puts us on the back foot as the police, because we are not going to be able to be in those each houses to guard that those things don't happen. And mostly, or all the time, those would be people very known to the victim. So is one big area. The question is, what then happens when those things have happened? I agree that maybe the arrest would not equal the cases that have happened there. But I must also come front and say there's been a much improved arrest when it comes to women's and children issues. Unfortunately, only those that will be high profile, that will be known, that the police have responded. One of those will be the Orange Farm. Orange Farm, where the six-year-old and the eight-year-old, the person, a 29-year-old lady, a 29-year-old lady who was arrested earlier on for another murder of a young one, I think three or four, found in the fridge of the shipping, and she was released because of the delay of the toxicology results. She was released three, other one happened. So, as I'm saying, it's a chain where sometimes these things are repeated by the people that are on bail, happening to giving them access to the next victims. But as I've said, that many, many more high profile cases and cases generally when it comes to women have been the arrest. What maybe we haven't found very equitable to it would be the sentencing. Though I know that there is a very high degree of sentencing when it comes to the FCS unit. As I've said, I've repeated this number time and again, of 4,728 life sentences. but fully accepting that it's a scourge that is refusing to go down. It's a scourge that all of us we must work on it. It's a scourge that must be societal. Sunday morning, Chairperson, I was at Kwalanga. I received the phone call at about 3 a.m. People saying they can't sleep there. Went there a Sunday morning. What I found there was shocking, literally shocking, that there was a street bash, that was attended by 10-year-olds, 12. I spoke to the 13-year-old that was the part of the that was the part of that party. And it was the first time I've asked some colleagues, they've confirmed that such thing exists. I was told that also it was a part of a sex party. Now, the mothers there, they came and spoke to us that were there, including myself, to say police are not helping them to collect their 10-year-old from the street. I asked the question from mothers, how do 10-year-old goes to the street and you expect the police? Because even if the police arrest the 10-year-old, the magistrate and the prosecution will say, take the 10-year-old back to the mother. So it's a question that the police will have to do their work, prosecution, everybody. But there must be an increase on the call of the society, parents, friends, families, doing much better on these matters. But we do need to improve. We are working on that. I have raised the issue that we are training 312 more people. We are working with the prosecution on this one, that they help to train us so that we understand. We are working on the dedicated desk on the stations, so that when the victims come to report, they know who to speak to. We also know who is responsible in the station to increase and improve the communication. So it's a question that we'll be working on going forward together with our sister departments. That's on question one. Question two, Honorable Mr. Groenewald. Well, I'm glad that you say you read it on the media. Let me put you at ease. The statement was never said by me, Honorable Groenewald. I never said the statement that farmers will be hurt and all that. No, I never said so. The statement, to relax on that. I would not be that irresponsible to go there to visit the bereaved family to make sure that people get arrested and they say that they'll be hurt. I unfortunately did see the headline on, I think it was Rapport, where the headline was said. I tried to read, I couldn't catch and all that. But that statement was never said by me and will never be said by me that there is a right or there is any justification in the head of anybody in the farm, not just farmers, on all farm farming communities. There's nobody that has a right to hurt them. Coming to the gentleman that you say I lost it. No, I did not. Several people spoke there, Honorable Groenewald. Many people spoke. I think there were four white South Africans that spoke there, Lombard, I can't remember who, and other aunt, and this, I think this gentleman was Coley. Coley, he went personal. He instructed me to say, when he speaks, I must respond by shaking my hand or not, shaking my head or nodding. I said there coolly, looked at him, he advised for me to say, you shake your head to show that you are listening to me. To me, that was a principal and a schoolboy relationship that I could not take. I don't know why he would really say that. So I had to respond to that. That to me, that was arrogance, and I was not going to sit there instructed by him when there were almost more than 100 people in the meeting, and everybody contributed very well in the meeting, including the other patriots and South Africans that were there. In that meeting, the Deputy Minister of Agriculture was there, who responded on some issues that were land issues. Let me tell you, there were less crime issues there than the land issues, and I was glad that I was not there to answer those questions. Mine there was to deal with the crime and the policing matters. And fortunately, the commissioner was there. We have picked up those matters to see how to improve that working relationship between the communities. And the issues raised, Honorable Dr. Sonnevat, are issues that need to be attended to. If not attended to, are the issues that will cause us problems going forward in the area of crime, when basically they are not issues of crime. So the gentleman, we just went toe to toe, and it's got nothing to do with the overall meeting, nothing to do with approach of the meeting. And I was there as I was requested to come back on the question of the killing and the murder of the family that we went to see. And fortunately, we have arrested somebody there. I'm told that we are close to arrest three more people on the matter. On the crime scene, we have done well going forward on that one. I'm not going to go to your argument of policing, of operations and policy, constitutional matters and the legislation matters. Maybe you can debate that, because I don't think they are very correct. At the end of the day, no matter what happens at the police, the executing authority is responsible, it's answerable. That's why we are asking this question from me today. That's why even if I go to communities, it's me that will give those. So it's important that one listens, one knows, one goes to these communities. Fortunately, and most of them, I'll go with the commissioner so that you all sit and listen on those matters. The Shembeni questions, there will be most of them. Or before I go to Shembeni, Honorable Dr. Groenewald, there is nothing that said there are less and not important cases, especially when it comes to the loss of lives. Again, I'm told that I said the thing there. Absolutely none on that. We're taking these matters very, very serious. You raised the issue of a young man, I think it's someone Paul Hooks in Free State. I might not have sent the statement. I don't remember personally, and I don't remember my communication, but I've been inconsistent communication with the MSC and the police in that area. Hence, I'm glad, Dr. Groenewald, to say two people have been arrested there. Unfortunately, as I checked, those two people, one of them has been arrested two times already for the stock theft. One has been arrested nine times for the similar crime. And the question would be, why is he still outside? Why is he still killing people? So this is a question I raised before, that it would be better to work with the whole chain going forward. Because if you have been arrested nine times, and the 10th time you come back to murder somebody, there is something wrong there on the chain. But I want to tell you, that one has not been making me sleep, Honorable Groenewald. And then we have been put pressure. people have been arrested. Not only that, the Sandra one also in Mpumalanga. I'm glad that the community responded together with our police that works in Gauteng, who was around the area. They chased the people there. Fortunately, the car of the criminals capsized, and those people were arrested. Unfortunately, we did lose wife there. On the question of Robert Dahl in Limpopo, Honorable Groenewald, we have lost life there. I think the husband. Unfortunately, we are also on that one looking at the question of the domestic violence. It doesn't look like it's a standard farm murder. There is an element of a domestic violence, like the question of women in KZN, where there is an element of domestic violence. Police have investigated. We have taken the case to the NPA for decision, and more investigation there went on domestic violence rather than the matter farm. So I want to assure you, we take these issues of farm matters, farm attacks very seriously, and personally so. I do that, including Mamfagu, who said people have raised the issue of maybe taking the matter up when there are white farmers that have been killed and not doing it when they are black. The unfortunately, we do go to these areas. Well, we can't pull the media to say when we go to Pongolo, when I've been there several times, when we go to Piet Retief, when I've been there several times, Vryheid. So you can't, if it is known, it doesn't mean that it doesn't happen. But we do go to these places. One unfortunate statement that happened from Mr. Collier there is an issue that was raised where there's been an allegation that the farmer shot a person and he said he has mistaken him with a baboon. Mr. Collier stood up and said, no, the farmer shot the dog, and besides the dog, there was a dead man. That nearly killed the meeting. We had all to stand up and say that can't be so. And he added on the statement to say, he doesn't know why do we follow that, because it's 10 years since this person died, so why do we still care about that? The crux of the matter, person died there. It doesn't matter how long the person has died. So when you attend these meetings, you get a different picture than when you read them on the papers. And it's interesting to me that the writing was about Mr. Collier and the Minister Cele, and all other inputs that were more than 20, more than 30 were not made. Some of them very constructive. I don't think that the media did like those that were constructive. So be rest assured, Honorable Frank, there can't be a minister, but the matter is really needs to be working, and is exactly why we go there to try and work on those matters. Mr. Shembeni, the accuracy and all that, they work on it.
Honorable Chair, Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson. Can you hear me, Honorable Chair?
Honorable Groenewald, can you hear me?
I can hear you now, Chair. Thank you. I didn't hear you before that. May I, with your order ruling, Chair, it is very, very important what has been just said by the Honorable Minister. And the spark in the whole issue, And I can give the minister the Afrikaans version. The words that was published was that die boere moet nie kla as hulle seer kry nie. Now, Chair, the minister said that he never said that. And then I would feel that we can't leave this matter just here. then we must try as a committee also to try and to find out why that was reported in the media. Because I don't think I have to emphasize the emotions, the importance of the reaction on such a statement, which the minister now denies that he ever said that. So I would really ask that this thing be further investigated, where the media is reporting certain things, and if the media reported it incorrectly, Chair, then okay, I will deal with that, then I will lay a charge with the relevant structures, because that is totally unacceptable. What the minister further said, I can agree with. And that was why I also in the past said that there is progress. But the statement, Jefferson, I want to say, must be further investigated, because that statement is the spark of all the problems. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Groenewald. I think if it assists from the side of the chair, I will also facilitate this, and we'll issue a media statement on this. So after the meeting, we'll coordinate with the minister, Dr. Groenewald, and our staff, and we'll definitely include that in the statement we make. Minister, could you continue, please?
Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. Fortunately, that's one member that I engage with all the time. And even on this one, I don't have a problem engaging further on it. I want to repeat, the exchange between Mr. Collier and Minister Tele has nothing to do with the whole meeting, as I've explained. And if we need to further engage, including what he's saying, if there should be investigation, I'll be very comfortable with that, Chair. Chair, the Reverend Musho raised a question of cooperation with the Interpol. Yes, there will be communication, but as you know, Honourable Reverend Musho, that the borders have been closed. But let me tell you, even when the borders were closed, these are one trips that we have been always approving. And I remember one time when I approved this trip, how these people are going when there is nothing flies, I didn't know. But it's one area where we've been really trying, because we would expect that when the world of crime works together, and then the world of agencies will have to work together. So there are outstanding names, but it's one job, Honorable Musho, that was done even under 4, even 5, 3, when these requests were made. I remember very well asking the question, as I signed, how do they go? So it has been something that we have been always doing about it. The rest of the question here will be answered by the commissioner together with the team, including the withdrawal of the police protection, the policy on that, the policy on the firearms, as it has been raised. Honorable Madam Majosi, it's the question of the I think I've tried to expand on the question of the gender-based violence and femicide and abuse of children, and then the registering of the cases, saying the stats might not be too accurate because of the shortage or the shortfall of the systems. And again, that will be answered together with the Honorable Shelembe's questions on the matter. The Honorable Fagu, I think I have tried to explain on question of the issue of women, children, reducing on that, and you made comment on what was raised by Honorable Member Groenewald. So I think I've tried to explain that. Early retirement and spending, Honorable Fagu, you remember that police retire at 60, but for some reason, Treasury and DPSA allowed people to retire at 50 without any form of charging them or punishing them financially. Let me tell you the story that one time I had to invite, 1 month I signed 200 police that were leaving the system. The following month there were 300. I requested that let's have an audience with them and find out what is the story with them. And remember, if your budget is budgeted for people to retire at 60, and all of a sudden they retire at 50, but the most popular age, Honorable Fagu, is 55. I don't know what is it. At 55 they go. So, which means you pay extra money, and that money, remember, is not punished. You pay it as it is, but also remember, we are losing our organization wealth. We are losing the experience, the cream of the crop going out there. So you would be paying extra money that you would have expected to pay them as they reach 60. So we had an audience with them. They were adamant that most of them are going. Some of them were sick and they could not stay longer. Some were just tired. Some, they were just frustrated by the organization. I remember one warrant officer, Ngobo, from Mahlabathini, who said her daughter was born when he was a warrant officer until she graduated, he's still a warrant officer. So the organization is not taking care of him, so he has no business to stay. And he wanted to go yesterday. And if I'm not mistaken, he was 56. So then you pay money faster. So I think it's one area that maybe the DPSA in allowing us to allow people leave earlier because they believed that they will save finances. It looks like it's not doing it as the police. Rather than saving it, they make us pay faster and monies that we did not budget for. I hope it has been raised that maybe let's engage again with the DPSA when it comes to the South African Police Service, which is different from the rest of the civil servant that they retire at 65. Police retire at 60, but most of them now, they retire at 55 because of the DPSA and Treasury decision. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Then I'll leave another question for Commissioner and the team. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. National Commissioner, General Sotole, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members and the Minister and as well as the Deputy Minister. Chair, let me start by extending our appreciation to the questions expressed by the Honorable Members. I think I will answer the strategic related questions and the team will take the more operational and specific questions. The first one, I wanted to start with the underperformance in forensic and start by saying firstly, forensic as a division has been declared a high priority for corporate renewal. And secondly, I have instructed the Deputy National Commissioner Crime Detection, the Division Forensic, the Deputy National Commissioner for Support Services, as well as the Divisional Commissioner for Supply Chain, to work on the urgent acquisition of mobile laboratories and working together with Treasury. That particular process is at an advanced stage for us to acquire these services. The only unfortunate thing that also causes the delay is the fact that we are acquiring these services outside that is the country. We don't have it within. Then, but we are monitoring it, and we just want to make sure that within a short space of time, and we want to distribute them in a number of districts so that we create a service delivery access and we enhance the response. I also just wanted to add, I think the minister spoke clearly on the crimes against women and children. But what I wanted to add operationally is the fact that we are continuously beefing up the capacity of the response units to gender-based violence, which is the capacity of FCS. But we are also working on capacitating the cold case, because there's quite a lot of cold cases that we worked with here. And we also then expanding on the specialized units that will complement this particular fighting this sketch, this particular sketch, such as your murder and robbery unit and others. So we are adding them there because we are starting that particular process of bringing them in. But what is most important, Chair, is that this crime needs prevention. I think we are doing quite a lot on the reactive side, but we now need to balance it with prevention. Firstly, there's quite a lot of root causes. Secondly, there's a deteriorated moral fiber, and it's continuously deteriorating. And thirdly, this particular crime is happening more within the family, which is very difficult to be prevented. But one of also the initiatives that we've taken is to increase the education and awareness so that we can make the victims more aware. But we're also partnering with several other institutions within the community policing fraternity. And one of those that we're working with is the MEMEZA technology, because we want to work on the intensifying the gender-based activation plan so that we can respond immediately as those crimes are taking place. The next addition is on Interpol, just to say we've got a formal strategy to deal with Interpol, and we also have an action plan by the various environments that are coming in. And each Interpol inquiry, when it comes, we open an investigation file. This investigation takes place and it continues until such time that we have hit the target, and we go back and we report them. So there's continuous and sustainable investigations. Then on the lost firearms, I think WISPOL, stolen and lost firearms, WISPOL will talk more, but I wanted to speak on the drunk person. Firstly, I think this thing is a conduct issue. And it's a matter that we don't discuss, but we act, we take action. I have therefore already instructed that we start an internal investigation into the matter. But secondly, under normal circumstances, when we experience such matters or where firearms get lost, we start a Section 102 investigation. But the Section 102 investigation runs concurrently with a departmental process or a departmental action. And that's how we deal with it. There's a possibility that a member can be deemed unfit to carry a firearm, but at the same time be charged departmental. And it depends on the nature of the case. It may also end up with dismissal. So on the withdrawal of the protection, I wanted to start by answering the question as to who has got the authority to withdraw. By virtue of current and existing policy framework, the one who's got the authority to withdraw is the National Commissioner. And on the question of who withdrew the protection of the kennel, I just want to start by saying immediately after this incident, I have appointed one of the lieutenant generals to conduct an internal investigation into the matter. The investigation is not yet over, but I have received a preliminary report on this particular aspect. And according to the preliminary report, there wasn't a formally approved protection according to the policy. There was a preliminary deployment pending a threat assessment. And the procedure in terms of the protection and security policy is that whenever there's a threat against any member, it depends on the nature of the threat. If the threat is on high risk, we deploy immediately as a temporary measure, but we then instruct a threat assessment to be conducted by crime intelligence. And then immediately after the threat assessment comes back, we will either withdraw or we will continue with that particular protection. But we will present it either as low, medium, or high risk. It will depend on those. If it is high risk, it's taken over by protection and security. If it's at medium and low, we arrange other form of protection within the police, like we could use the medium and high risk forces to do it. So a final report is still awaited, where we will know exactly why was the protection withdrawn and how was it arranged. But there wasn't a formally approved protection that was escalated to my office yet. Then with regard to online policing, there's a question with regard to when are we going on online policing. The modernization of policing has started together with the modernization of the JCPS cluster. So we are working on a number of online processes at the present moment, which would also include ICDMS, which I think TMS will elaborate a little bit more. But I have instructed the development of online policing strategy, and that process has gone beyond 90%. We are not far away from that is finalizing and formalizing it, but we have already started working on some of the online platforms, which is covering the whole of policing. Then there was also a view and a suggesting that we should come to the committee to present the action plan on gender-based violence. I think we will comply with this particular direction. We will prepare it and we will wait for the direction of the committee when we can come and present. With your permission, Chair, I can then afford the opportunity to the team, starting with the DNC, to just add some responses to the other questions that are environmentally based. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, General. Your team may continue.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. This is Lieutenant General Mugwenya. I'm trying to activate the video. There was Honorable Chair, good afternoon, Honorable Members, the Minister of Police, the Deputy Minister, and National Commissioner. There was a question that was raised by Honorable Shembeni that talks to the performance indicator percent on percentage of operational personnel declared competent in the modules of legal principles and the use of firearm handgun. Out of the 2,559 that we had planned for training and for them to be declared competent, we were able to achieve 2,354 in the sense that those are the ones who were declared competent after having underwent the training. A total of 205 were found not competent. And then the further question was, what do we do with them? There is provision for retraining, and also they get subjected to remedial courses. These members that we are talking to, Honorable Chair, will be members who will not have been issued with firearms before. Then what it means is that prior to them having been declared competent, they will not be issued with firearms because it is a requirement for them to be competent. The same applies in a situation where some would have passed the legal principles and not have yet passed the training on the handgun. They will not be issued with the firearms. On Honorable Chair.
Sorry, I'm very child sensitive, but can we maybe just have the children in a safe space? I'm listening to children now. Mommy. Honorable members, I'm listening to children now.
Honorable Chair?
Yes.
Honorable Chair? Oh, thank you.
All right, General, Reverend Meshu, would you like to come in?
Chairperson, it was a point of order. Thank you very much that Honorable Mbulelo has muted.
All right, thank you. General Sithole, you may continue. General Sithole?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Now that the process is controlled, with your permission, we can allow Lieutenant General Mugwenya to continue.
Thanks, Chair. I think I responded to the issue of the members who would not have been declared competent after being subjected to training. The other question, General, you have already responded to, the one that talks to those members who will be found to be drunk in public and during the process they lose their firearms. There are provisions in terms of our discipline regulations to deal with that. That is regarded as serious misconduct, and as rightly indicated by the National Commissioner, it's also a violation of the code of conduct. Such members will be dealt with in terms of the expeditious process, which process dictates that there will be a report compiled that talks to the conduct of the member, and the report will be subjected before a senior manager designated by the National Commissioner, and then it will be decided, the member will be given a date for him to appear before the designated member so that it can be decided depending on the report that would have been presented. The member gets also given an opportunity to be represented. Depending on the merits, the member members get dismissed. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Next.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm Lieutenant General Fazi. I'm trying to bring in the video in ensuring that I'm actually visible. My video doesn't come in. I don't know what is.
Please continue on the sound. Please just continue.
Yeah.
Continue.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The Minister of the Police, the Deputy Minister, members of the Portfolio Committee, the National Commissioner, my colleagues. Honorable Chair, to respond on the issue, to actually add on what the National Commissioner has spoken about, the issue of ICDMS. The Honorable Member has been indicating that the ICDMS seems not to be actually fully implemented. I think I agree on that, but critically so, the implementation of the ICDMS cannot affect the statutes on the basis that the ICDMS is actually functioning together with the CAS system and also the SAPS 6 system. Therefore, I think as you understand, my Honorable Shengeni, he understands this system, that these systems, the idea of the ICDMS was actually to integrate this system so that when there is an output, the output should be reflective of what is happening in the CAS system, what is happening in your SAP 6. And it goes on. It was actually about integration of systems. But critically so, we are actually, if in those 18 stations, the ICDMS has not been implemented, it will mean that the CAS system and the SAP 6 is functioning. Therefore, you'll get the necessary statistics and also the management of the case flow and so forth and so forth. But also the other issue of the accuracy of the statistics. Our statistics, before we actually present them to the minister, we present them to parliament, we present them to anybody who are interacting with Stats SA for verification purposes and authenticity on the statistics. Therefore, it cannot be a question of presenting statistics that are not accurate. And then also the issue of the gender-based violence. I think the minister, the national commissioner have spoken on the issue, but critically so at an operational level, there are a number of issues that have been raised with regard to the issue of gender-based violence. And I think as detectives, specifically the FCS units, who are looking at it at a broader perspective. I think the National Commissioner has alluded to that point, that we're looking at gender-based violence from a point of view of matters that are being generated by this kind of crime. We're looking at the issue of gender-based violence from a point of view of the technological related crimes, your cyber crimes. We're looking at the issue of gender-based violence from a point of view of all other subsidiary issues that might actually relate to criminality. Therefore, on the basis of that, we are saying, let us look at the current arrangement and setup within the South African Police Service. Are we adequately so addressing these issues? We have actually referred that discussion to organizational development vis-a-vis the detectives, FCS in particular, that we should look at the positioning of this division in as far as the demand and supply, in as far as this functions, besides the Honorable Chair. Then on the issue of the what you call the backlog in as far as the DNA is concerned, I think the National Commissioner has spoken on the issue of the mobile labs, but critically so, the Deputy National Commissioner is leading a project. I mean, the Deputy National Minister is leading us in a project where we're dealing with the backlog, specifically on the courts in KwaZulu-Natal, the rural areas in the Eastern Cape. We're interacting with the Department of Justice. We're interacting with the courts. We're interacting with the NPA in ensuring that we're putting up together some kind of projects that will actually intervene specifically on the issues that relate with backlog in as far as DNA is concerned. And also, we're interacting with the CFO of the South African Police Service. We've looked at the current issues, because the issue that they've been faced with, it was the issue of looking at the current suppliers that we're having. We had a little bit of hiccups in as far as that aspect is concerned. But based on the interaction between the Divisional Commissioner for Forensic Services, the Divisional Commissioner Supply Chain, and of course the CFO, we're looking at various modalities that can assist us in terms of fast-tracking the processes of tender processes, because the critical issues that we're faced with is the collaboration of the equipment, that is services of the equipment of forensic, and also the issue of the supply of the equipment that is being used by forensic environment. The consumables in that environment, those are the issues that actually makes us to have these kind of backlogs. But based on these interventions, we are actually addressing that issue. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, General Mfazi. General Sotole, do you have any other comments?
Yes, Chair. I've got General Libya on platform.
With yes, your permission, continue.
Thank you.
Continue, please.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, the Minister and Deputy Minister and colleagues. The question that is directed at the DPCI comes from the Honorable Shembeni with regards to the status of the cases on PPE procurement. And it goes further to talk to the steps that are being taken to prevent the commission of irregularities in that space. All what I can say at this stage is that the investigations of matters related to the PPE are included in what we have jointly put as a COVID-19 relief funds investigations. These matters are coordinated at the Fusion Center. So it not only deals with the PPE, but it also deals with other aspects related to the funds like the unemployment insurance fund. I can say at this stage that the teams are seized with 169 of these matters. There are, of course, already five matters that are on the court roll. Other matters are still on various stages, with the majority of this relate to the UIF, the Unemployment Insurance Fund, which I think they were received only 2 weeks ago. So that is, in short, the matters that we are having. So I have not separated specifically those that are dealing with the PPE. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members.
Thank you very much, General Libya. Next.
Thank you very much. I'm sure the question I see that we might not have spoken to is on firearm permits. I think Vice Paul can just take the floor and respond to that question.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. It's Mary Jane Opina speaking. I'm going to answer the question on the firearm license and licensing and the why we didn't meet the targets of the 90 days allowed to issue a firearm license. This is an internal target that was set by the police in terms of our working procedures at the time, where we determined that that is a reasonable time to issue a firearm license. However, we have since reviewed the working procedures and the time it takes, and the target has now been changed to 120 days based on the analysis of the working procedures at the Central Firearm Register. So that is something that we realize is a challenge, and we are also getting assistance from our internal expertise to do a detailed analysis of the work procedures in the standard operating procedures for issuing of the licenses, so that at every level, from the station where the license application is made to the provincial level to the national level, we review all the processes and ensure that we have got a reasonable time frame and we can meet that target. Because at the moment we saw that consistently we're not meeting that target, and it is because our working procedures require more time than the target actually allows. So that is the answer in terms of the licenses. Then in terms of the firearm permits, I think we should to members, I think that question has been answered in terms of the how, when a firearm is not issued until the member qualifies for a permit and the training has been done. But I think the other issue was what are we doing to ensure that when a member takes a firearm home that the firearm is safe? That issue is a process where it starts with the training of the members, as Chairman Mgwenya has already referred to, where the members are trained on the legal requirements, which includes also how they must safely carry and store that firearm. That continues with the issue of a safe to the member. Every member who takes a firearm home must have a safe at their houses, and the police actually provide that safe, and the member can only take the firearm with them off duty when they have a safe storage space for that firearm. And obviously the members must then obey and comply with the instructions, which as the General Sithole and General Mgwenya has already indicated, the example mentioned that member definitely did not comply and a disciplinary action must be taken. In addition to that, the police has put in place other measures to make sure that our members protect their firearms and take care of them, one of which is that every police firearm issued is not been marked and I've assessed it before it's issued. So if a firearm issued to a police member is used in a crime, and we will be able to trace that firearm back to the member. And this was done as a measure to deter and ensure that members take care of their police firearms. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. General Sithole and your team, thank you very much. Honourable Members, we have a half an hour left. So before we take another round of questions, I've noted Honourable Meshu and Honourable Groenewald and Honourable Tablanche. But before I do take that round, and Faku, I'm not going to take more. So could I get an indication from General Sithole, who will be here for the next 3 days? I know the minister and the deputy minister will not be here. General Sithole, from your team, who will be here?
Chair, I can arrange to send some of our deputy national commissioners to come and attend, but I will do this after this meeting because I'm also supposed to attend the cabinet lehutla. Unless the committee wants me here, then I can ask for an apology that side.
National commissioner, the president has indicated that there will be no apologies allowed for the cabinet lehutla. So we understand that. Could you please, minister and national commissioner, could you please ensure that we have a very senior delegation for the next 3 days? The national commissioner, the minister, and the deputy minister, I know there's a number of other senior generals who are also expected to attend the cabinet lehutla. The president has indicated that there will be no apologies accepted. The next would now be Honorable Meshu, Honorable Groeneval, De Blanche, and then Faku, and then we will close the meeting after those responses.
Thank you, Chairperson. I was disappointed by the answer I received for the question about the protection for the late Colonel Kenye. We just heard from the commissioner that there was no formal approval for protection for the late. Now, while we all know that dealing with criminals in the underworld is a very, very dangerous and risky business, I want to know...
Honorable Faku, yes. Honorable Faku, you are out of order. Please switch off your mic. We are not going to spa, Minister. Honorable Meshu, continue.
All right. Thank you, Chairperson. I was saying that to hear that there was no formal approval for his protection when he was dealing with very dangerous criminals is a very disappointing answer to hear. Now, the underworld, criminals in the underworld are known to be very violent as they are protecting their thefts, as they are protecting the drugs that many of them are dealing with. So I want to know whether was he the only one dealing with the underworld that was not given formal protection, or are all the detectives that are dealing with criminals in the underworld not protected? And if yes, I want to know why. But if others are protected and he was not protected, I also want to know why was he not protected, because of the dangerous work he was expected to do. And the second one, we know that many suspects are given bail, even though the police oppose it. Now, what I want to know is whether the minister, the honorable minister, does engage the justice cluster to show particularly the Minister of Justice the importance of cooperating with the police when it comes to granting repeat offenders bail. Because when the detectives or the investigators are saying for these reasons, this person should not be granted bail, and this person goes out and commits another crime because they were given bail, what's the minister doing about that to convince the magistrate and the judges the importance of getting guidance from the police when it comes to who to be given bail and who not to be given bail?
No, I think it's there. On the other side of that toilet seat.
Please mute our mics. All right, you may continue.
Okay, my last question, Chairperson. The Honourable Minister referred to 10-year-olds attending street and sex parties, and some parents complaining and saying, why are the police not removing these young children from the street? Now, we know that, obviously, it is the parents that allow the children to be in the streets, and because those parents have been stripped of their parental authority over their children. Many times these parents cannot even discipline their children because the children run to the police stations and say, my parents are abusing me. So this leaves parents handcuffed, in, so to say. They're bound by the rules and by the law. They cannot discipline their children. So what my question now out of this is whether there is any link that has been established so far between child trafficking that is increasing in the country and these three sex parties that these children have. And if there is no link yet, has there been any investigation to look into that? Because we are concerned about children that are trafficked, and many times we are told very, very young children. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Honorable Dr. Groenewald, and then De Blanche, and then Faku.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, my first question is that we have seen that there are quite media reports about the corruption when it comes to PPE equipment, and what happened with the COVID-19 situation. Now, firstly, I want to know, Chairperson, my first question is, I want to know what procurement or what steps have been taken to prevent further corruption as far as the PPE case is concerned, and how far is the investigation in the final identification of corruption with the PPE situation? That's my first question. The second one, Chairperson, we also saw that about 42 people were arrested for alleged involvement in criminal case related to the police vehicle brandy. Now, this case actually is coming since 2018, and it is specifically in the supply chain management division. Now, my question is, what steps had been taken, firstly, to strengthen the supply chain management division to prevent corruption like we have, or what we see at the moment, taking place? I mean, as I said, it's coming from 2018. Has any steps been taken? Then I want to come, Chairperson, for my third question to the firearms registry. Now, firstly, there's a huge problem as far as the firearm permit system is concerned. The IT company, and there's a dispute on that. The fact of the matter is that dispute has not been solved yet. So my question is, what is the firearms registry doing at the moment to ensure further registration of firearms if the IT system cannot be used because of the dispute? So I would like to have an update on that. And talking about the Central Firearms Registry, Chairperson, we also see in the media, and we've seen with the situation with the late investigator Kinnear, that there are allegations of corruption in the Central Firearms Registry, where people are involved in smuggling actually firearms and also false permits. Now, Chairperson, this is not the first time that the CFR is in the fire line because of corruption. About 2-3 years ago, there was a colonel or something, Prinsloo, who was convicted because he sold more than 1,000 guns to the gangs in the Western Cape. Now, I mean, that should have had alert the situation to say if this is corruption taking place in the CFR, and I want to know what steps have been taken to ensure, specifically when it comes to the CFR, that no corruption takes place since the arrest of Prinsloo. Last question, Chairperson, is about the communication infrastructure. I see, according to the outcomes on slide 17, the number of identified digital radio communication infrastructure sites, as well as the network communication infrastructures, none was done. The target was 3 for the quarter and 29 for the WAN sites, and the achievement were 0. Can I have an explanation on that? I know with the reallocation of the money, so in the budget, the money was taken here, but still the target for the first quarter was 3 and 29, but none has been achieved. And Chairperson, that for me is a serious problem, because if you can't have proper communication, then you can't fight crime effectively. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, honorable members. Honorable members, I'm trying to assess my meetings for the next 3 days. One, there's obviously a number of questions I've asked for this meeting to be 4 hours. Now, we'll be done with this meeting in the next 10 minutes, which means you will just still ask more questions because it will be the Blanche and then it will be Honorable Faku. The next 3 days, we actually need someone from the ministry because we will be dealing with IPET, CIRA, and the civilian secretariat. So we will need someone from the ministry. We'll also need someone from SAPS because there will be a number of questions which will be interlinked between IPET and SAPS. I'm not sure if the IPED head is also going to the Lakhotla. Honorable Minister, could I have indication if my 3 days will be a success? I think the entities, the heads of the entities will also be part of the Lakhotla. Honorable Minister, could you please give me an indication if we will have someone from your office who can assist us? Or else we will have to review or reassess our meeting for the next 3 days. Honorable Minister?
Well, Chairperson, as it has been said, I don't know why the National Commission was giving you option of if you instruct him not to, because it's compulsory to attend the government Lakhotla. Is very compulsory. It's government Lakhotla is attended by ministers, deputy ministers, and DGs. And that's how it's designed. The DGs of all other departments. Now, if that is the case from the ministry, if both the minister and deputy are not there, I don't think we have somebody that can represent the ministry. But I think with the management, it's easy. The person that attends is a national commissioner. The DDGs, which happens to be the deputies, I think two of them are already here, General Mfazi and General Mwenya. They are part of this meeting. There are two more. I don't know if General Vuma and General Masimula are here. But at that level, I think it's easy from the police. But it will be difficult from the ministry to have somebody that will come and answer questions on behalf of the ministry. Thanks.
Honorable Minister, would you be, I'm sorry that I have to engage you like this in a formal meeting, but would it be appropriate for me to continue with IPED, CIRA, and the Secretariat without the availability of the Ministry? Because IPED reports to the Minister.
Well,
Minister?
They all, Chairperson, maybe you are correct. Engaging like this doesn't help much. maybe you are correct.
Honorable Minister, let us talk after this meeting. Let me complete with Honorable Tablanche and then Faku, and then we complete this meeting. I'll engage with the Minister after this. Thank you.
I agree, because we might also bring on the deputy minister on the discussions.
Minister, let us just have this meeting after this formal engagement, because we are in a very difficult situation indeed, and the rest of the members would want me to give direction. Could the honourable members then also await my meeting with the minister, after my meeting with the minister, I'll be able to give you direction. Because I am receiving questions from the members on my cell phone. Honorable members, as per my ruling, I will talk to the minister and then I will give you all direction. Honorable the Blanche and then Faku, and then I'll close.
Chairperson, thank you. I'm going to be very brief. Chairperson, I want to know, you know, there is a constant increase payments towards civil claims. And I just want, you know, some, you know, maybe somebody can explain what is happening, but more importantly, what is being done, you know, to manage it down. That's the first question. Chairperson, and then we had, you know, scheduled in the past supply chain management to come and, you know, brief the committee. And that hasn't taken place yet. And in the meantime, Chairperson, you know, we have a constant problem with, you know, Capital Works, bulletproof vests, uniforms, and stuff like that. And that is, I also want clarity on that. And maybe we can arrange a presentation one day. Chairperson, then lastly, the underperformance of the detection rate by the detectives. That is also very concerning. I need also an explanation on that. Thank you, Chairperson. Those are my questions.
Thank you, Honorable Faku.
Thank you, Chairperson. I hope that in our program for this term, we really have a bilateral between ourselves and justice. The reason that I'm saying this, Chair, I have been following a lot of GBV cases. I know that the police is doing their work, but when you go to our courts, it's where we are failed. I will give you an example. In the case of Mpumalanga currently, that woman that killed, apparently she was released of killing a child first and then she was released on bail. People that are committing these crimes are offenders, are repeat offenders, are people that are out on bail, some that are out on parole. We need to make sure that really that in this term, Chairperson, we do have a bilateral with justice. Like last week, myself, members of parliament that reside here in the Eastern Cape and the Eastern Provincial Legislature of the Women's Caucus and Buffalo City Women's Caucus, we went to the Chair Magistrate Court. We wanted to meet with the Chief Magistrate and to just get an update of cases of what is happening. We could not get what we wanted, but we postponed the meeting for another time. I hope Minister also, I know that he does have bilaterals with Minister Lamulam. I think this bilateral, so that we don't put the blame on the police only. But also, Chairperson, I think this issue is a serious issue. It has to do with the moral being of our communities. This is where we want churches to come out. This is where we want Honorable Mushwe to assist the minister. Maybe as churches now, we must turn to them as parliament also to say that they must help us, because these things, people that rape people, it's people within our own families. It's very rare that you'll get someone that is far from you. It's your boyfriend, it's your uncle, it's your father. So it's something that needs to be done, Chairperson, with this one. My second point, Chairperson, can DPCI give us crime stats that for the province, organized crime stats for the province, if they can just give us that? I think some of my other questions have been covered. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. You do realize that I will not be able to take the responses today. I'm going to ask that those responses be taken in writing, that we be provided with those responses in writing, but that we continue our meetings and we know that these questions and the follow-ups will be repeated in the following meetings that we have over the next few days. We'll be in touch with all the members and give you direction. But as you can see, we are working steadfastly on increasing the time allocated to this committee. I would therefore like us to adjourn the meeting. I therefore declare the meeting adjourned, and we will reconvene as per my engagement with the minister and my engagement with you. I'll communicate all further decisions in due course. Thank you very much, Honorable Minister, Honorable Deputy Minister, General Sotole and your team. We do know that this will be a tough term. We will be doing oversight as soon as the Chief Whip and the House Chair approves oversight visits. There will be an oversight this term. We'll be having committee meetings 2-3 times a week. So please be patient. We will get there. Thank you very much. The meeting is now adjourned.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I think we can handle it that way and then
Deputy Minister.
Yes,
sir. Minister and DM, can you please switch off your mic?
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Members. Good luck. It's going to be a very difficult.